So you think you can stone me and spit in my eye? So you think you can love me and leave me to die? Oh, baby, can't do this to me, baby. You just gotta get out. Just gotta get right out of here.
Robert, calm down.
I can't. Cause nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters. No, nothing really matters. Nothing really matters. Even the RCMP. Do you have to cuff me?
Are you good?
Physical violence is the least of my priorities.
You've never been a real.
Welcome to the Inspired Disorder Podcast. Red Bull Podcasts inspired by life, love, stress, and setbacks. With your hosts Ray Taylor and Justin King. Disorder starts now.
What is up, guys? How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, doing good. Drinking some beer.
Nice. And our guest tonight, Keith Spurlock 1 on Twitter. How are you doing tonight?
What's up, all the internet people out there?
What's up, internet people? So, do you guys hear the, have you heard that video before?
Which one?
The one that we just listened to on the intro. That was the video of the drunk guy singing Bohemian Rhapsody in the back of the
car. Oh, yeah, I have seen that. It's classic shit.
That guy looks just like Ari Shaffir.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
That's how I found out about it. Ari tweeted it, and I was like, I was a little bit confused when I first started watching it because I didn't think Ari was in Canada, but yeah, it was hilarious. It's funny. I had to tell everybody.
It's a long video.
Yeah.
It is, man. No, he does the whole fucking song, like the whole intro, everything, every part of that song he does, and it's not bad. I've heard much, much worse renditions of that song done in multiple karaoke situations that I don't want to ever fucking remember.
For sure.
I used to work in a bar that did karaoke, and yeah, it's a shitty local village bar too, so you got the same 10 people in the bar every time singing the same 10 songs.
I'm sure he's well beyond sick of that shit.
Oh, Jesus.
So how long ago did you work in the bar?
I was probably 18, 19, so about 11 years ago.
Nice.
It was a while back. It was right after high school. It was a bar with a pizza place in the back. I used to deliver pizzas and get real fucking high.
Nice.
So what was like the most like annoying song somebody would sing? Like the most regular annoying song?
There was one lady in particular, real, real big lady, and she would always come in and sing that Four Non Bond song. I can't remember the name of the song, but it was their one hit.
Yeah.
And she would sing it every single week. But I mean, it was the same people every time, so it was always the same.
Yeah.
So, but that one in particular stuck out the most in my head.
Was she the only one that sang that song, or was it like really popular song?
Yeah, that was
song?
Her song.
Okay.
She owned that shit, you know, when everyone that went there was a regular, so they all knew she was going to sing that song every time.
That's crazy. Because Justin and I, we've gone to a karaoke bar. What's a bar that does karaoke on like the weekends or something like that? I don't know if they still do it.
Yeah, the Charcoal House is one of them. It's around here anyways. It still does do that shit, but...
But we went to Norma Jean's, and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the infamous one.
Do you remember the dude that would be, like, fucking, like really good, but like be rolling around on the stage and doing like acrobatics.
Remember yeah, was he the one that dressed up in all black too?
He wore all black. I think maybe that was just his general day to day.
Took
uniform.
It all serious, like he had this game face on when he got to the stage. Yeah. It's like, oh shit, this is not a game to this guy.
Yeah, he looked like a thin, like long haired, like rocker dude, like heavy metal, like he, like when he grew up, he loved freaking Metallica,
right? Dio. Yeah.
But yeah, he would be singing like Guns N' Roses and shit and just fucking rolling. Like there was a little platform stage, like a little square on the middle of the dance floor. He'd like run up to it and do like a barrel roll over it and like get down and get into the song. It was fucking crazy.
It's an awesome performance though.
Yeah.
Do you guys do karaoke when you go?
Oh, hell no.
I've never in my life done karaoke.
Never. I've never had the balls to get up there and do it. I've been tempted a couple times being shit-faced drunk, but never done it.
I've sang live with my friends when I was younger with my friend's metal band. Uh-huh. Like, I would get on stage and backup sing and stuff like that. But, you know, I've never – I can scream. I can't sing.
Yeah. I was a bass player in a band for a little while, so, I mean, the whole – being on stage wasn't really a big deal. It was just like – I don't know. Being the center of attention and shit, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, there was a few times I at freaking Norma Jean's, I'd sung like 3 times, and then like the first time I did it, one of my old roommates was a Korean dude, and one of his best friends, one of his coworkers out here was Japanese. So we'd go to like in northern San Diego. There's like a little like, I don't know if it's Koreatown or like Asia Town or whatever. And there's like old school, like Korean or Japanese karaoke places. And those places are weird because you get your own booth. So you show up there, we brought our own beer, and they just, you rent a room and you go in there, and it's just like whoever is in your group, and you're sitting around a little TV, and the video that plays that has like the lyrics on it is like Korean soap opera-y, like very wistful, like, you know,
like clouds and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all 8-bit and shit.
It's really weird. And like the lyrics are fucked up in a lot of songs too. But it's like your own little like contained thing. And the first time I went, it was, just us three guys. Like we had gone fishing or something like that. And we were hanging out and like, we went to go shoot pool at this place. And like right next door was this karaoke bar or karaoke place. And he was like, you want to go sing karaoke? And we were fucked up, or I was fucked up. So I was like, yeah. And then we went and we got a case of beer and brought it in. And it was just us three. And they both sang like Boys to Men, like fucking every 90s R&B song. And it was probably one of the most gayest situations I've ever been in my entire life.
Oh my God.
Like it was fucking, it's like, it was fun after, like, cause I was like, I was choosing like all like alternative and grunge and like shit, just shit that I knew. And like, they're singing like freaking, you know, Boys to Men ballads. And it's just like really weird.
It's no good, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird doing that a bunch around other dudes and being serious about it.
Yeah.
R&B. R&B is one thing compared to, you know, getting together and singing some fucking heavy metal song or whatever. You know, something hip hop, you know, something aggressive, something, you know, manly.
Yeah.
When you're in a group of dudes like that doing that, it can't be that shit. It can't
be that shit. Well, it can be that shit if, you know, that shit just happens. And then we went there a few times with other people, not just the three of us. And then at Norma Jean's, I've been drunk and tried to sing. That was kind of weird, just being in front of a bunch of people. But when you're really fucked up and you're on, like when you're doing that, you seriously don't see anybody. You're like so focused on just trying to read the goddamn words and trying to like sing somewhat appropriately. Yeah, it's anyway.
They actually did a karaoke at a Christmas party I had at the factory I used to work at. Uh-huh. And one of the kids that I worked with, a white kid that really loved Eminem,
uh-huh,
got up on stage in front of everyone, like all the big wigs in the front office, and it was a Japanese company. Uh-huh. And he sang one of Eminem's early songs that was just so vulgar, and it was all clean stuff, but he threw in all the cuss words anyway. So that was probably my favorite karaoke moment I've ever seen. Just to see a drunk-ass kid that I worked with just start cussing up a storm, you know, in front of all the people that
signed his checks. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is by far the best karaoke story. Way better than my slightly homosexual.
I don't really have one, so boom, Keith wins.
Boom, boom. Just won that one. I think in that contest, just Justin loses.
I lost, man. I don't really have a crazy, like, random karaoke moment like you guys do. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I mean, you know, like I said earlier, I've been tempted numerous times, but just haven't been drunk enough yet. Maybe that one more fucking drink and I would have done it, you know? Yeah. But I guess I've just been on the edge each time, so I've been good.
It's a lot of girls will push you over that edge. If you're drunk.
That's true, yeah.
And there's a hot chick going like, go up in there and sing this song for me. And I don't know why she sounds like that, but that's
get your ass up in there and sing that song.
Go up on in there and sing a song for me. Sing me do la dee da, and I'm gonna love you forever.
Hey, that's what the girls here sound like. Really? So
they apparently go to San Diego karaoke bars a lot and try to instigate singing from drunk men. I see how it goes.
So, Keith, where are you from, man? What's your central location, I should say?
Findlay, Ohio is where I'm located at, and it's about it's halfway in between Toledo and Columbus.
Okay.
Northwest Ohio. So I'm about an hour away from Michigan and about an hour and a half away from Columbus.
Okay.
So just so everybody knows, we started recording like 9:40. In the PM in the Pacific times, for those that aren't listening live and going, no, duh, man. But freaking Keith has stayed up till 12:30 to start this motherfucker.
Yeah, man, dedication. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
yeah, dedication. No problem.
Dedication and black circles under your eyes, son.
Well, I feel like I already know you guys listening to the podcast. I've listened ever since your Monkey Todd episode when you guys discussed what happened with that thing.
Uh-huh. So, go ahead.
I'm just happy to get my voice out there, and this whole Death Squad family thing we got going on Twitter is great. You know, everybody's just coming out with their own shit, from Postal Poet to Nish the Dish, and seeing all these guys traveling all over to see all the Death Squad comedians and all the positive energy. It's been real great.
Speaking of positive energy, you did get some from Brody Stevens.
I got a little love back from Brody.
That was nice. Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, why is Brody giving Keith some podcast positive energy or a positive podcast energy? I don't know. That was awesome. Freaking Brody Stevens. Yes. Fucking love
every day when my girlfriend leaves for work, I always give her the old positive energy. Yes.
Nice. Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. So how long have you, where did you start? Did you start with the Joe Rogan podcast? Were you listening after that? Did you listen to podcasts before Joe Rogan?
Now this is going to be funny. I got a computer about a year ago for my 30th birthday. So all pretty much, I mean, I messed around on the internet when I was a kid and stuff, but pretty much my entire internet life has been within the last year or so. But yeah, I got started watching the Joe Rogan Experience and then just caught the Death Squad bug. Mm-hmm. And started getting into all the other podcasts and all the comedians that come on. And I'm actually real big into comedy. I've been a big fan all my life and planning on starting to do some open mics.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
So fucking awesome.
What are some of your favorite comedians, man? Do you have like a list or do you have like a top 10 or whatever?
Well, the first comedian I ever saw, I was a kid, and I saw George Carlin mm-hmm. around here. And that, you know, that was great. I was a huge Carlin fan even as a kid. You know, we always had HBO, so I always caught all his specials and everything. But now, you know, just most of the Death Squad crew. I'm a big Rogan fan. Love Duncan and Ari and the Mommies.
Yeah.
Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky. You know, I've been really into the comedy scene, but around here, you have to either go to Columbus or Toledo. Because, you know, so everything's at least an hour away. Well, so it's just kind of hard right now because I'm not a driver.
Oh, right, right. So what, like, so you've always been into the comedy. How many of those guys have you seen live? Have you seen any of them yet?
Besides Carlin? No, not really.
Okay. But you, but are you going to be going?
I'm going to the Red Band, nice. Joey Diaz, they're coming out here and doing a show in Columbus, like 3 days before my birthday.
That's fucking awesome.
So I'll get to meet up with a bunch of the Death Squad crew from around here. I know No Susquehanna,
yeah,
and JW and a few of the other guys from around here will all be going. So it'd be nice to kind of meet face to face with some of these guys.
That's awesome. Cool, man.
Yeah. They actually might be in the chat room or listening right now. I don't know.
Yeah, you guys should get some going, like do a little like podcast on the side with you guys together or something when, while you're there, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah.
I totally want to hook up with these guys, and a friend of mine down there actually lives within walking distance of the venue, so.
That's awesome.
Shit might get crazy that night.
That is awesome. Yeah, you need, definitely need to report back, record some shit. Yeah,
document that shit.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
So have you, how far are you, like, have you started to try and write jokes? I'm like super, like, that excites me a lot. You saying that you want to try some open mics, cause I would like fucking love to do that. Growing up, I was a little misguided, like to the point where I thought comedy or funny things happen from clowns. So I wanted to be a clown when I was really young, cause I thought that's how you made people laugh, and I loved making people laugh. And it took forever for me to realize, like, that there's a stand-up comedian type of, like, occupation that you could do. And I think if I had realized that earlier, that I might have actually tried to do that, because I love trying to make people laugh. Now I just do it by, like, really corny and lame jokes, because that's what people laugh at nowadays. But when, like, how in-depth, so I'm like, fucking, I wish I want to do that. I might actually do that, too. But I'm, like, really curious, like, have you started to write jokes? Have you ever done anything like that? Like, what, like, inspired you? Or is it just, like, listening to all these comedians on Death Squad?
Well, like you, you know, I've always wanted to make people laugh. I can even remember back in second grade getting a report back from my teacher that said, you know, Keith's a great student, but he's always trying to make everyone laugh. Like, so that was, you know, that was to my teachers at Catholic school a downfall. But I've always liked to make people laugh, you know, and I'm corny too, but most of the stuff that I do is more, I'm more of a storyteller.
Nice.
Like, so it's
Joey
mostly
Diaz
situational stuff from my life, and you know, like, I grew up in a divorced house, and my dad is hilarious, and he loves himself some drink too, so that usually adds for even more comedy. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I lived a weird life, you know. I haven't been a whole lot of places, but I've definitely had some crazy, funny, weird shit happen to me in my life.
Yeah, fucking awesome. So when do you think you might step on a stage?
Plans are for this summer. Nice. To start it up. I mean, you know, I'm no spring chicken. This will be my 31st birthday. I think we're around the same age.
Yeah.
But class of 99.
Yep. Same.
So I'd like to get it started this summer, but, you know, and see how things go here. But my girlfriend and I, she had lived in Denver for a while, and the comedy scene's real good out there. So depending on how things go here, or even not, we'd like to move back out there.
Yeah.
You know, get a little more exposure. I mean, there's a whole lot of good talent in Ohio, but not a lot of people see it.
Yeah.
Bands, awesome. And comedians.
Yeah. it's I mean, there's certain pockets in the U.S. where it's like a lot of scenes are. And yeah, I've heard of a lot of, I think fucking Joey Diaz was out there in Colorado and stuff like that. So that's cool, man. Have you lived anywhere else besides Ohio, or is that where you like grew up?
I grew up about 15 minutes away from where I live now in a little village, but I've lived all over Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Like I did a little, I went for a semester of college down in Southern Ohio, and I lived up by Cleveland with my grandparents building fences. So I've lived in Northwest, Northeast, and Southern Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sweet. Where have you been, like, vacation-wise? Like, have you been?
I used to vacation down in Houston, Texas,
uh-huh.
and South Padre Island.
Okay.
As a kid. I've been to Florida. I've been to San Francisco. Been to Denver, Chicago, you know, all the big cities right around me, Cleveland, Detroit,
yeah,
everywhere in Ohio, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and then I went to Amsterdam a couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember you saying something to me about my urinal story on Twitter. Yeah, you mentioned that you had hit up that same exact urinal fucking trash can looking thing that I was talking about.
Weird.
That's crazy. Yeah,
weird.
Man, it's just weird how it runs down the street. That's what I was trying to talk about in the show, was that, like, you know, the urinal itself isn't that weird. I've seen sketchier ones actually here in America. But the fact that the piss just runs into the street was the weird part to me.
Well, the weird part to me was there's no door. I mean, people are just walking by. Of course, it's just your back. But, you know, around here, you don't see that. Like, everyone's shut in.
I remember just walking down the street.
There.
Yo, I know. Yeah. It was crazy. I was just remember walking down the street with my friend, and all of a sudden I'm like, is that piss? And he's like, yeah, dude, that's piss. And all of a sudden we followed like the line coming from the sewer grate there going up and going to that fucking device, man. It was just weird. It was like, okay. You know, at that point it was like our third stop on the trip I went on, so it wasn't that weird. I already knew I was in Europe, but at the same time you don't really expect like the level of insanity that happens out there sometimes. It's fucking awesome.
Well, did you notice? I didn't see very many cops at all the entire time.
I didn't know. I mean, when I was out there, it was back in 07, and the only thing sketchy to us about Amsterdam really was the fact that there's so many pushers on the streets that are trying to sell you the hard stuff. You know, like they were everywhere, man. We were getting hit up like every 20 seconds.
And every time, it's the same noise.
Yeah, they're like, hey, man, like, they're like,
Charlie.
They're like, X is hash, like, da 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 da. You know,
Charlie was a big one that I didn't know what Charlie was. And then, Charlie's cocaine.
Okay.
And they kept
straight up cocaine. That's why I was like, what's Charlie then? Is that like a mix of like coke and something else? Or
no, Charlie, at least told to me, was cocaine. But what do you think about the new laws there? The new law that they're trying to pass?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, that's a huge part of their tourism industry right there. The country's going to seriously suffer financially over that decision. I think it'll get reversed eventually, because I don't think that's going to stand. I mean, so many businesses are going to take a hit, you know?
I really just think that because Dutch people can still buy it.
True, yeah. You just have to get a card.
It would just be a big underground, like at all the hostels. There would be local kids working there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still going to be a bit up there for sure.
It would just turn it into a different underground business.
Exactly. It's not going to stop it at all. It's like, weed's been in Amsterdam or that general area of Belgium there, or the Netherlands, I should say, for thousands of years. You're not going to get rid of that. Sorry.
Where did you stay when you were there?
Just in Amsterdam itself, like in the city. We stayed at a hostel called – I'm trying to think of the name of the hostel. Fuck. Pretty popular one down there, though. A pretty well-known hostel. But
the Flying Pig?
Not the Flying Pig. It was God, what's the other big one down there? There's two big ones, like big chains down there.
I don't know. I stayed in the Flying Pig.
Okay. Was that like near – like in a really busy kind of crowded like urban area, like a bunch of shops and everything, like bakeries?
Yeah, that was one of them, and the other one was by Vondel Park.
Okay, yeah, because we were, like, in the city, like, in the heart of, like, all kinds of crazy shit. Like, there's this, like, fucking gay bar, like, two places up called the Cock Ring. That was one example. There was, I'm serious, dude. There, up the street from there was this place called The High Smoke Shop, and next to it was The High Bakery. Insane setup. It was like smoke shop, bakery. Then next to that was like a pizza place. I mean, Amsterdam, you don't understand, Ray. Amsterdam does it right. They do it the right way.
Well, we
it's
need awesome. To.
It's just, the only thing sketchy is the pushers that are out there. They're everywhere. But other than that, Amsterdam is well worth the experience for sure.
That's crazy. We should do a podcast from there.
Dude.
Fire disorder, crazy podcast.
That would be incredible.
I've got a good story about the red light district.
Oh, yeah, please, man, please, because, fuck, man, I was out there, I was so tempted, man, but my friend had a girlfriend back home, and he wasn't willing to, you know, separate from me.
Did you walk through?
Oh, we walked through. We took a tour through it one night, or actually, it was, like, the afternoon with this tour guide with a bunch of other people, but we walked through all together, but we walked through the whole heart of it, yeah. So, we walked down, like, multiple streets.
So, like, a tour, like, there was a guide? Or just stroll.
Yeah, the schools out there, the universities and whatnot have like tour guides that work basically on tips that they'll show up and they'll like put up little things in the hostels to say, hey, meet up like here at 12 o'clock for a free tour. It's always free, but they expect a little tip at the end of it. Yeah. But we did one of those like the second day we were there and we walked through the red light district.
That's
that time.
Awesome. That'd be like fucking somebody in Harlem doing like crack house tours. Like on tips,
seriously,
that's insane.
It was a trip. I mean, it was all legit. The guy knew what he's talking about. His English is pretty good. I mean, he took us through everywhere. Like we saw, like, you know, the Anne Frank, where Anne Frank was, the Anne Frank house, you know, and of course Red Light District, which I thought the Red Light District was like maybe a block, like one city block. It's like five. It's huge.
So let's get sure more
Keith.
Depth.
Yeah, let's get to Keith's story though. Keith has an awesome story about this particular scenario
for sure.
Well, it was probably the second night that we were there, and I went with like five of my buddies, and one of my buddies brought his girlfriend, so there were six of us total, and we're all walking around. I don't think my buddy and his girlfriend were with us, so there was four of us, and we're walking around the red light district, and there they have the craziest small alleys.
Oh, I know, man. They're so skinny. It's just
so skinny. And we all started walking down this one, and it literally kept getting narrower. It was maybe two people wide, but by the end of it, it had all funneled in, and there was a corner around it, and around the corner started walking people, and all of a sudden, I thought I was in the last stand of the 300, because there were literally 50 Persian dudes walking towards us in this one-lane alley. And we, you know, everyone's got a backpack on, and at first I'm like trying to fight through it.
Were you guys like just getting there at the time?
No, this was like our third day, but we were, you know, again, it was nighttime and we're just wandering around these alleys. And,
okay.
You know, it was pretty much, we walked down the one that all these people were walking the other way in. We get jammed up, and then all, you know, all these guys are just shoving by us, like, not being that cool at all. So I just turned around and I was in the lead, waved everyone back. And so we walked back and then we walked down the alley right across and it actually dead end, but it turned into like, it was a right turn into a building.
Yeah.
And the entire bottom floor was all, you know, hookers and their little glass rooms and everything. It was weird. It was just at the end of a dead end alley. And then you turned right into a building. And as we're walking around it, you know, there's a long line and it's real skeevy, like real dark light, like every weird porn shop that I've ever been in. And we turn the corner and I look in and this one chick is just crying on her cell phone. And I kind of looked at my buddy and I was like, is she really sad or is she just playing up a fetish? Because there's got to be a million dudes that, you know, want to console a sad girl out there.
I don't know what you're talking about. Continue.
But, no. So we go through there, and this chick is just bawling. And my buddies all turned, like, we got out of there. And before we had got there, all these guys were single. And every time we talked about this trip, it was, man, I'm going to be in, you know, I'm going to be in the red light district every night and this and that. And this the first few nights.
Yeah.
Right after they all saw the crying hooker, everyone turned around and went, no. I can't.
Oh, it killed the mood. It killed the mood.
It totally killed everyone's mood right then. It was, oh, man. Because, you know, who knows? And it could have been something that had nothing to do with what she had just done or what happened to her. You know, she could have just found out her mom died or, you know, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
But it just killed the entire mood of, like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to go pick up these chicks in Amsterdam. And, yeah, you know, it was... You heard the womp, womp, womp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's a erection killer right there. Well,
yeah, I mean, guess for mine everybody. Wasn't even as, say what? Go ahead, Ray.
I mean, I suppose that would be an erection killer for everybody out there. I mean, some guys.
Oh, well, again, like I said, you know, maybe that's a fetish for some dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. They're like, oh, let me help you out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right, babe. You want me to rub your back?
It's okay. Your minutes, yeah, they'll roll over.
It's like just with how it is out there, Ray. Though it's a trip at first, like, because you literally will look down one street, any random street out there, and it's like porn store, you know, live fucking sex show next door to it. Then it's like a smoke shop. Then it's like a bike shop. That's basically every street that's out there. There's so many bikes everywhere, man. That's
so many bikes.
Insane part of it. It was like ding, 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 ding. They're like flying by you left and right like every second, man. That was a trip. So, you see rows of parked bikes too that are like miles long.
So it's a smoke shop, a bike shop, and what else?
Live sex show.
So this is a bad place to be?
It's not I'm trying to
describe I thought you were like describing heaven to me, and I thought I didn't know that you guys had both been to heaven and I've just been in San Diego.
The coolest part to me about Amsterdam was the fact that, you know, it's so liberal out there, obviously.
Yeah.
And you still see society functioning. I mean, there isn't a bunch of weirdo twacked out people on the street all fucked up, puking everywhere, and like, you know, there is some messed up people. I saw some dude shrooming like right below us, below our fucking hostel room. We were looking out, watching this guy look into a closed business inside like a window with a blind over it, basically, for like an hour. He's staring into it like he was seeing something in there. But I mean, it's pretty rare though. I mean, society's functioning and it's going on, you know. So that's the coolest part about it to me, was seeing that, like, okay, it can happen and society will not collapse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You find all the crazy people in the United States because they don't have a lot of that shit, or like they just have like normal mental illness that nobody wants to take care of here. That's what you find, like, crazy people. We're like so used to finding crazy people.
It's because, like, everybody out here is on the prescription drugs, you know, so it's like.
Yeah, it's that, and,
it's,
you know.
They don't have access to weed.
Yeah, we just.
Everyone there is thin, too.
Oh, yeah, everybody's out there riding bikes everywhere, man.
Everyone's thin. Like, it was almost a shock to get back right when our plane landed in Atlanta to catch our connecting flight. The first person I saw when, you know, I walked out of the gate was some, like, 500-pound guy. And it just really sucked me back into the reality that is here.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, man.
Oh, America was a trip when I got back. How long were you out there for when you went?
I was only out there for 4 days.
4 days.
But it was all 4 days in Amsterdam. That's like going, you know, it's Vegas on roids.
That's awesome. Yeah, I went on a crazy whole, like, Euro trip, basically, when I went. We hit up fucking a bunch of spots. It was only a couple days in each place, was kind of suck because some of the places I wanted to be there a lot longer, obviously. But it was 28 days was the trip.
Oh, nice.
So, got to hit up a lot of spots. It was cool to kind of see like a whole chunk of Europe, you know. But there's some places like Amsterdam where I seriously wish I could have spent like 3-4 days like you did there. You know, we were there for 2 days. That was it. We had to leave on the third day. So.
Oh, yeah. We went in March. So it was still pretty cold, but we walked everywhere. And
it's super easy to walk. Every, I mean, the way the cities out there are, it's awesome, man. They're all super central, so it's a legit option just to walk and get most places, you know.
Have you ever seen the Amstel commercial?
Amstel
Light.
It's
all about Amsterdam, and there's a street there that's entirely filled with graffiti. Did you ever make it and find that?
All graffiti. Not sure. No, I mean, we went to like Town Square where they have that crazy statue in the middle, like it's all opened up and everything. We went there.
Damn square.
Yeah, we went there. And we walked around like all around like the main hub of Amsterdam, basically through all the canals and stuff, and like, you know, all that, basically that central area. Though we didn't really branch out too far.
So
yeah,
what was the graffiti thing you were talking about?
Yeah, where's that at?
Oh, man, I couldn't tell you because I couldn't pronounce any of the names of any of the streets. But we were just wandering around one day, and all of a sudden we turned a corner, and this entire street, like all the cement, the buildings, like some of them were 4 or 5 stories, and the entire thing, like one's a huge dragon. Like, and it was probably a 6-story building, or it may be a giant snake.
Whoa.
And another one of them, in the old cartoon version, said boom real big across it. Mm-hmm. But then there was a nice fuck the police and a Egyptian montage down the street. It was all really cool. But I don't know, that place was just crazy. It was, every corner was, you know, you could turn a corner and it's something completely different. And the architecture, everything being so...
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, when everything's 500 years old, which is older than all of America, it's kind of crazy to see stuff like that.
Oh, I know, man. That was a trip. The most thing was, like, as far as, like, you know, tripping out the most, I did that, just the history, just knowing that all that shit out there was that old, you know. It's crazy to think about. It takes a little while to kind of wrap your head around that, you know. I got to see, like, the Colosseum and, like, all the Roman ruins and all that kind of stuff when I was out there. And I also got to see Venice when I was out there, too. And it's just like, that shit's crazy that, like, they built that long ago and it's still around. It still exists, you know. Like, Amsterdam was a trip, how, like, all the buildings are, like, you know, if you look down the street at the buildings in Amsterdam, they're all, like, kind of leaning over a little bit. Like, some are leaning over a little more than others. So it's like, you look down and it's like this weird kind of wavy line of buildings, basically. Did you see that when you were out there?
Yeah, yeah. I saw them actually tearing down a building, and what they do there, because they love, you know, the old architecture. They tore down an entire apartment building except for the entire front facade.
Wow.
And they kept that all bricked up. And then they just built the entire thing on the back of it.
That's so awesome, just to maintain that look and feel.
Yeah, well, I had pictures of it where it's just like, I took a picture from an angle where you can just see behind it. It's just one, you know, the full front wall, and they just build off that, which I think is really cool. I mean, to keep that old feel, I mean, that's what that place is all about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
And this, if you were back there, you couldn't fit through any doors.
Oh, I know, man. No, the alleys in there's alleys in Venice too. They're just like that, man. They're super skinny and narrow, just like insane. Like, not even shoulder width. You know, as far as like your shoulder width, I should say, not even that wide. Like, you have to like kind of turn to the side and kind of squeeze around them and shit. It's fucking crazy.
How are the showers in your hostel? Mine was pretty rough.
Yeah, there's some weird ones, man. There's like, especially the toilets.
It was
toilets.
Just the toilet and the shower.
The toilets were always weird. Like, country to country, the toilets were always different in each country. It was really weird. There isn't like a standard toilet like we have in America out there. Like, everyone, like Spain had like these push button ones that are like on the top of the bowl, you know, like, or like of like the water area, whatever they call that shit. On top of that, there's other ones with like old school like pull chain where everything's like kind of up top above the actual pot you sit on. Crazy shit.
Plus, you have to pay to go to public restrooms.
Yeah, yeah, dude, that was weird.
I was in a McDonald's, you know. I mean, we were just like, fuck it, we're going to get some McDonald's and everything. An actual customer sitting down, and I was like, well, I got to go to the bathroom. And I walk in, and there's a little lady sitting behind a card table.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, well, what the hell? And she's like, and the sign said 35 cents. And I was like, really? And so I expected to go in there and see, like, an immaculate bathroom, right? We're paying to go to the bathroom. I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
And no, it's just as dirty and shitty as any McDonald's bathroom I've ever seen. Big disappointment. Oh,
yeah, McDonald's would charge you for did they charge you for your ketchup packets too? Like, ketchup's like this like fucking like endangered fucking resource out there, man. Ketchup was like hard to find. Did you notice? Did you notice that when you were out there?
Yeah,
it's like it's all like mayo.
Mayonnaise. Yeah, they put their fries in mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
their fries were the fucking bomb out there, though. Did you have some of those, the flamza fritos or fritas, whatever they call them?
Yeah, yeah.
From those little stands like on the side of the road. Oh, dude. I think I actually asked for ketchup when I was at one of those two, and they gave me mayo on top. I was like, what? Like, they call their mayo ketchup, I guess.
I don't know, man.
It's weird. You know what? No, it's not. It wasn't bad. No, I accepted it. It was fucking delicious. But
yeah, I was scared at first too. But and I tried a lot of the stuff. They're not really known for their food there.
No,
I mean name one Netherlands heavy food. You know, and yeah. you don't hear of it. And I guess fried meatballs was one of them, or something like that. And tried
fish. There's probably some weird fish delicacy that they have there. That's what I'm guessing.
Sure, weird stuff that I didn't try, but. And one of my friends had been there a couple times before, so we kind of had, you know, someone that kind of knew what was going on, so that really helped.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I went out there with the friend I went with actually had been there once before also, so that was definitely a huge help. He was able to get us to the train station in most places, like, really quick, you know. It wasn't that's a huge help. It was a trip because when I first got to the train station out there, I like, walked out and I was like, all right, once we got the train, I'm like, I'm going to time it to see how long it takes until I smell weed. And it took, we walked to the train station across the street. I smelt it. It was right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Flying Pig's not that far away from Central Station.
Exactly. So. It might have been the Flying Pig. Did they have, did you go in there?
Well, the Blues Brothers Cafe was right across the street from the
because I remember the hostel bar was pretty sweet there. And, they had, some pool tables, downstairs and some TVs and shit. And then, there's a whole back patio area, a bunch of tables.
There was a chill room, yeah, and that's where everyone could smoke.
Yeah, it was kind of out back. There's this patio area with big wooden tables, and you could take your food out there if you order from the grill behind the bar. And
that's the Grasshopper. You're talking about the Grasshopper, and it's right on the canal.
I'm not sure. We weren't that close to a canal. I mean, I think we were, but I couldn't. I mean, there wasn't one that we could see from our room. It was kind of across from us a little bit. Actually, yeah, we weren't that far. It was down the street a little bit. It might have been that one. I don't know. It was 6 years ago for me, so.
Yeah, I went in 08, so.
08? Okay. But yeah, awesome times, though, man. For Amsterdam is the shit. For anybody out there who's thinking about going, maybe on the fence, oh, I'm not sure. You know, but one thing, look into the law situation, because, you know, from what we were talking about, Keith and I were talking about earlier, when we first started talking about Amsterdam, they're passing a law now to where you have to get a card, a medical card, quote-unquote, in order to, you know, to purchase cannabis.
And you have to be a resident.
And a resident as well, yeah. I don't think you can even be a tourist, so.
No, it's all residents. But actually, they're fighting it. They tried to implement it, and Amsterdam itself said no, and I guess there's a vote later this year on it. From what I've heard, I shouldn't say I'm 100% on that.
Okay.
It's fucking crazy how, things are shifting, in certain areas where it seemed to be so accepted in Amsterdam, and, now all of a sudden it's maybe not. And, in California, it's pretty much shifted, or in a lot of states, actually, it's shifted a lot towards being finally cool or just, not looked down upon. So it's a weird shift on how weird bullshit. I wonder how the whole atmosphere of the media is there. You can kind of see the shift in things, when you watch just general media in the US, how things are getting lax on certain stuff. And
oh, dude, I'll break it down for you real simple. Oh, because I was out there for 28 days, bro. Uh-huh. Listen, bro,
bring it.
This is the main thing anyways that I saw with the media out there was that all of the violence we see on TV, on our cable TV, on our, you know, basic cable, whatever, you know, just the violence we see on TV, replace that with sex, and that's Europe.
Oh, like,
they are. Oh, yeah, dude. When I was in Germany, for 4 days. I was in Munich. Our last stop on the trip I was on was the Oktoberfest. And I remember, I think it was Channel 13, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, here it's Channel 7, you know, as far as San Diego anyways, NBC, you know, all the ABC, all of the, you know, basic stations are in the lower numbers, which is like that out there. But you get to 13, not that far up, you know. It was Playboy TV, basically. And it was free on TV. And then the next channel up was a sex call line, you know, call this person up to like talk on the phone and have like phone sex or whatever. The next channel. And it was like all this racy, like basically sex going on. It's like the next channel. This is on like basic standard TV, you know?
I think you just discovered like the strategy for any fucking cable company in the US to not keep people from like cutting their cable bill and going to just like Hulu and Netflix. Like if they just started offering porn for free, but you had to just get a cable subscription, boom, done. They win. Yeah. They would get like there would be so many people, like so many dudes anyway, would just like subscribe to cable. Even though the internet's there, like just having a box where it's like on your thing and you just scroll up to channel 13 and there's some shisha porn. You know,
yeah, dude.
I think you that just was, discovered the fix for which I fuck you for doing that. Thank you very much. But I suppose if I live there, I might consider getting cable just for those lonely nights.
Yeah, man. It's basically that's the bottom line is you just place all the violence you see in American media in general with sex and openness towards, you know, nudity and not, you know, being that concerned about the naked body, basically.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's not mine. I don't mind. Or yours.
Now, were you surprised at how many people spoke English over there?
That was a trip. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple countries where we didn't meet too many people. Like in Rome, we went to Rome and Venice. And in Rome and Venice, there wasn't too many English speakers out there. But Spain, there's a decent amount. Germany, they're everywhere. Pretty much everybody we talked to in Germany all spoke English.
Everyone in the Netherlands spoke English.
Netherlands too. Yeah, we didn't really have any problems talking to anybody. And yeah, it's a trip.
In my hostel, I met kids from like 10 different countries. The kid I had the hardest time understanding was from Ireland.
Yeah, and yeah. Some of the
English Irish, English is their language. I just didn't get it. You know, Irish, man. I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude. I was at the Guinness Brewhouse or store. I think they call it the Guinness Storehouse. It's in Dublin. That was our second stop when I was out there. Was Dublin, and I was at the gift shop, and I bought like 40 euros worth of gifts at the gift shop. And the lady at the counter, she could hear that I was American in my accent. She like asked me if I was American. I'm like, yeah. She's like, welcome. Da, 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 da. She's like, do you want to collect your tix forms? Is what she asked me, and I was like, what? What'd you say? She's like, do you want to collect your tix forms? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. I didn't know what she was saying. You know, like I could not understand her. She was saying tax forms the whole time. Like the guy next to me was like, he had to like, you know, struggle to get like the A out, like we say it, you know. It's a trip.
So did she collect your tix forms?
I did not collect my tix form.
Fuck,
no.
Justin, you're wanted.
Yeah, man. Well, all it's for is so where you don't have to like, you know, pay taxes on your, you know, because you're not like technically a resident of that country. You're skipping the tax, basically, is what those are.
What
those
are for, anyways. It's like Amazon. It's like Amazon.
Yeah, sort of.
They don't collect your tix forms on Amazon.
They do not. But that's my random story. I'm blabbing over here. I'm a little drunk at the moment. So,
dude, join the club, man. I'll print up a card and laminate it for you.
I believe I'm in the same club with you guys. So, cheers to that.
We are all awesome. I just want everybody out there in the internet world to understand that is a fact.
All the internet's people?
Yeah, all those people that spell their name with the nets. So anyway, guys, you're a UFC fan, right?
Yes. Big UFC.
You were the one that gave me the heads up on the Quentin Jackson coming in heavy.
Fat on that last one.
Yeah. Do you watch the Ultimate Fighter, the TV show, as well?
Yes, I do, but I have not seen the latest one.
Oh, the one like a few days
ago? The one that came out on Friday. I didn't see that one yet, but so far I've been watching.
How have you liked the fight so far?
Well, the fights to get in the house were great.
Yeah.
And so far, at least both the fights that I've seen, I've kind of been rooting for a favor. Yeah. I don't know. I guess every season there's always one coach you like a little more.
Yeah.
Kind of. But, you know, his guys have been getting their ass kicked so far, or at least from what I've seen. Again, I haven't seen the latest one. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The fights going into the house were all cool. They were like one round fights. There was a lot of like knockout, submission, like a lot of finishes in that, which was really cool. Especially
if you don't have to hold anything back in a 5-minute fight.
Yeah, exactly. It was one round, so 5 minutes. The first two fights were like, because I was also going for Uriah's team, and like, I don't know, they just like. Under like the first decision was kind of weird, like where he threw it like back to the other guy, and then it's like it was really weird. Like I've had more problems, I guess, with just the new format of it because it's live now. It seems they're getting better, and this newest episode that I just actually watched right before we started recording tonight was a lot like smoother as far as like the production value of the show, because it was kind of weird, like. Watching it live and then like them intercutting to scenes that happened the week prior. But this fight is probably one of the most exciting fights. I'll just put it out.
Good.
I'll just say that. It was good. Yeah. I was nervous and like I didn't know who was going to win, and it was good. But it's definitely kind of weird. Like I haven't watched any of them actually live on the Friday episode, but It's definitely kind of a new thing, them turning over an episode.
I heard you comment on how it's weird to watch it without the commentary.
Yeah, and you know what? I was actually talking to a buddy of mine at work after that when I had said that, and that was more for that first episode because it was the coaches weren't like cornering anybody yet. And they hadn't gotten teams, so it was, like, really quiet, and, like, nobody was really saying anything. So, but now that they've actually chosen teams and there's coaches, like, at least there's noise why people are fighting, and it's not just, like, guys in a ring, like, super quiet, and there's no commentary, no crowd, no, it's, like, it's really weird, that first episode. And I think that's what I was basing that comment on, but... what do you think? There hasn't been commentary on the previous seasons, and I totally forgot that there wasn't, but I think they're doing a better job now than when I had made that comment.
Well, if you go to any of the live UFC events, I mean, they don't pipe Joe Rogan and Goldberg through the arena, which threw me off the first time I went. I guess you can get headphones, and they usually broadcast on a station there, so you could listen to them. But I didn't, you know, I went to a couple events when they first started having them in Columbus. Like I saw the Henderson and Anderson Silva fight.
Okay.
When he was defending his Pride belt after they had just bought Pride, and Silva was defending the UFC belt. That was awesome. Then I saw the Tim Sylvia, Randy Couture, when Couture came out of retirement.
Yeah.
And beat Tim Sylvia. Lucky which was great. I mean, everyone in that entire arena, and at the time, that had been the biggest crowd they had ever had.
Yeah.
And everyone, he knocked Sylvia on his ass in the first 5 seconds.
Yeah, like an overhand right or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone in that entire place just started screaming Randy over and over. Yeah. And no one
could talk. How could you not?
Oh, God, it was so great. And I really didn't like Tim Sylvia. I mean, I've been seeing he's trying to get back in the UFC right now, and he's really he's trying to push it on the internet, you know, and trying to get his name out there and saying he wants to come back. But I mean, he never impressed me, and he was, I guess, a little too hillbilly for me. He was the only guy that wore his belt when he wasn't fighting.
Yeah, there was like stories of him going to the grocery store with his belt on, and
he would wear it at events. Like, he would go to a show that he wasn't even fighting at, and he'd be sitting there with his goddamn belt on, and it just felt too much like a roadie, you know. I don't know. It seemed hillbilly to me, and I guess I shouldn't discriminate against hillbillies, but...
That's okay. They're not listening to podcasts.
It's just weird.
Yeah. No, I totally did too, but it was like an early time. Like there wasn't that many. That was like before UFC was really big. Like fucking Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. Those were like the cream of the crop, the headliner guys. But all those guys are so one dimensional now compared to today's fighters.
If you think back at the guys that, you know, 5 years ago were just on top of the world. I mean, besides Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
You know, most of those guys have all gone by the wayside.
Yep.
I mean, GSP is still around, but he started really young. Mm-hmm. Silva's just been dominating, which that was one I was going to ask you. Who do you have in the Silva Sonnen rematch?
You know what? I would really love to see Sonnen win, but he wasn't that impressive at all against Bisping.
No, it was horrible.
And I don't know if that was like maybe he just underestimated Bisping or just wasn't in shape or got injured. I don't know. He just was not impressive at all. I mean, that was a very a lot of people thought that it could have gone either way. But I think just that performance helps Anderson Silva. Like Anderson Silva saw that and saw that Chael Sonnen, you know, maybe he saw some holes as far as avoiding the takedowns and things like that. But it also hurt Chael Sonnen because I'm sure he's an intelligent guy. So I'm sure that he noticed that he wasn't impressive. I don't think he's that delusional. So,
well, he acted like it when he grabbed the mic right after that.
Well, but he's just trying to like do a character. He's not going to be, if he's trying to.
I get it, but yeah. I mean, I disagree with a lot of people that just love the shit talking. Like, I like a little bit of shit talking, but I think he really takes it a bit too far.
No,
just my personal opinion, but.
Yeah. Like after that it was, you could tell when he did that at that fight that it was an act. And then when he like did the whole like WWE thing at the previous one where it's like, if you win, I will leave. What did he say?
Loser leaves town, pretty much.
Yeah, basically. So I think that was a little bit too much. Like that was the start of pushing it. But like listening to him do like the UFC days or the UFC like pre-fight interviews or whatever when they're doing like the interviews for the Fight Club people and like just listening to him talk shit, I think he's like the best shit talker ever. But I think the fact that he wasn't that impressive, I think that he knows in his mind that hurts him, that he wasn't that impressive. So maybe like he will like, I think it's just like a mental thing, that whole victory for him and then, you know, Anderson Silva pulling it out. But I think it's going to be fucking amazing. And I think it doesn't help Chael Sonnen fighting in Brazil. Like, if I were, I'd be nervous just going to Brazil fighting against, like, their superstar. That would mentally, like, kill me. Unless he's so, I mean, if Chael Sonnen wins in Brazil, then he deserves two belts. But I don't think he's necessarily going to win.
If he wins, does he make it out alive?
That too. Yeah.
I think they'll let him make it to the ring.
No, they'll do that. Because they have so much faith in Anderson Silva. They'll be like, go right on in there to our lion and let him gobble you up. So, I don't know. I think, I'm sure the UFC has a lot of precautions in place. I don't know. We'll see, man. It could be like a fucking crazy, ratings might spike on their pay-per-view for the wrong reasons. But,
a lot of people have guns out there, man.
Dude, it's a lot of people have
a lot of gang activity out there in Brazil, man.
With no way to track it. I mean, their fight, their last fight in there.
It's going
to
be in Rio, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Some big soccer stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be in a stadium. It's their second time.
There's slums outside of Rio that are fucking fucked up.
Oh, yeah. The fucking favelas or whatever. It's just the second time the UFC's ever done like an open air arena. The first time was Abu Dhabi, which was Anderson Silva again, and that was a boring fucking fight.
Oh yeah.
But this one, it's gonna be crazy. I'm pretty sure Anderson's gonna win it, but I don't know, man. In situations like that, I just hope it's going to be a fucking good fight. I don't want to see a boring fight. Because, like, when you deal with the big stars like Anderson Silva, GSP, or I guess Frankie Edgar is a horrible example for that. But sometimes their fighting has been just like, I don't want to lose rather than I want to win. Although GSP more so, I fucking think GSP is like the best fighter ever. Him and Anderson Silva are probably the top two fighters ever. I think Anderson Silva is probably like more naturally fluid with his fighting, and GSP is so technically like is on more the like one's on the left brain, the other's on the right brain of fighting.
GSP is a hard worker. Like worked his way into what he's got. I think. And don't get me wrong, Anderson Silva has definitely worked his ass off to get where he's at.
So, what do you think's gonna happen that fight?
I got Silva. I had Silva in the original fight, and everyone, you know, I was watching with a bunch of buddies, and they were all looking at me, talking shit the entire fight. And don't get me wrong, I was nervous, but I just kept going, fight ain't over.
Yep, and, that's true.
If you looked at him after the end of the fight, after getting dominated for 4.5 rounds, he didn't have a scratch on him.
I know, yeah.
So, I mean, no matter what Shale wants to say, like, he lost.
Yeah. And,
you know, I really don't think that he has. I think that without being able to take the testosterone, mm-hmm. because he got in trouble the first time.
Yeah.
I think that really hurt him. You know, maybe he was one of the people that had messed his system up with steroids before. I don't know, but he just didn't seem fully with it in this most recent fight. But he looked really good in the stand fight. But I don't really know how good Brian Stand
is. Same thing. I mean, a lot of guys that come from other organizations like Stand did, that wasn't his first fight. Was that his first fight in the UFC? I don't think it was.
No. He had had a couple fights. Like, he had knocked out Chris Leben to get fight. Fuck.
Chris Leben's one of my dudes.
He's like, a shit talker. I like his shit talker.
Yeah, that's true. He's just like raw. You know, he's not like Chael Sonnen is like a performance shit talker.
Yeah, he seems to me, and he is. He's a politician, and he's not just that. He's a Republican politician.
Yeah,
and it really comes out in his speech.
That's true, but it's funny because he's like a character. But yeah, I totally agree with you. But he beat Brian Stann, which, you know, whatever. Who knows? Because that's a hard fight to gauge, because Brian Stann's never really taken on a lot of, like, elite fighters yet, at least in the UFC.
That was a big test.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, I think, you know, Chael Sonnen may have just, you know, because they knew each other before, maybe he took that more seriously because, you know, he knew what he was up against and was a lot easier for him to put a game plan together. And then maybe with Ryan Bisping, he just fucking, you know, who knows, whatever. But he was not impressive at all. And, you know.
Maybe he just underestimated him.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know.
Yeah. So what's your big, who's the guy that you want to see the most in the UFC?
That's a tough one. I get different favorites, you know, every once in a while when you really see some guy coming up. But,
when did you start watching the UFC? Let's start there.
Probably 06.
Okay.
06, and I've probably only missed like 3 or 4 pay-per-views since.
And 06 was, I fucking...
That was, it like was 20, the 30. Tito Randy, I think the second one.
What UFC or was that?
Not Tito Randy, Chuck and Randy.
Yeah.
I can't remember what
was that
UFC.
In the 40s? I think that
it was probably something around there.
Or 30s. Yeah. I started way late. Like, I don't remember the first fight. I think it was like one of Gabriel Gonzaga's first fights. I think it was him versus Mirko Krokop.
Oh, that was
the big head kick, like the surprising head kick. I think that was my first UFC, and I think that was Bisping's first UFC, too. I don't know, and then I went back and like watched from like 1, and then up through, and like almost caught up. Like, there's a bunch of fights like in the 30s and I think some of the 20s and 30s that I missed, but then like I went and caught up and then like been following, pretty much watched everything, not everything live, but fucking amazing. Have you caught up on the shows? Or have you watched all the shows too or no? I think I already asked this and you already answered this.
Yeah, I've seen them all but the last one. Yeah. Hey, I hate to stop real quick, but I got to take a piss.
Awesome, me too. Justin, do you have to piss?
Justin, hold up the fort.
Yeah.
I'll just try and play.
I'm going to play this. So, okay. Yeah, Justin. Do you have to pee, Justin, or are you going to just talk?
I'm good right now.
We'll just talk. So now, the Inspired Disorder podcast listeners, Justin King 1 on Twitter speaks to you live.
Holy shit. Hi, everybody. Just me now. Shout out to the Death Squad family listening in right now and going to listen later on. Got to say what's up to Postal Poet, Miss the Dish, Too Fatigue, J-Dub, all you guys. Probably leaving out a bunch. But, what's up, everybody? Thanks for listening. And I'm going to shut up now until they get back. So enjoy some silence for a little bit. Yeah. I don't know what to say, man. I was just like, what's up, everybody? And I, you know.
All right, I'm back.
Yeah, that's good time. All right. So, now that we're back, I want to talk some more fucking UFC, man.
John Jones Rashad.
Thank you for taking the words out of my brain hole and putting them on the internet. What do you think about that?
I got to think that John Jones might have this one.
Dude,
Rashad
Evans has been so unimpressive. Like, the only times he's, like, finished fights, he's caught fighters. Everything else, it's like...
He looked really good when he caught Chuck, but Chuck was on the down slope.
Yep.
He kicked Sean Salmon, which that guy had, like, one fight and got his head kicked in. You know, Machida knocked him out. He didn't look that good against Rampage. He didn't look that good in his last fight.
Yep.
You know,
he's fucking like, he's the only times he's won, he's caught people, it seems. And then the other ones, he's eked out like a victory.
But he's really only lost once.
Yeah.
He's only lost to Machida. I mean, he had a draw with Tito.
Yeah. Well, yeah, draw because Tito held the fence.
Yeah,
but he wasn't impressive in that.
No,
he beat Forrest.
But Forrest
has been caught a few times. And then Machida knocked him out. He beat Rampage, which Rampage hasn't looked good in like forever. You know, I'm still a little scared because you never know. Like, you never know. Like, with John Jones, he is young, so it's like you never know if he's going to just, like, lose his cool.
Well, it's such an unpredictable sport, man. You've seen it in a million fights. It takes one shot.
Yeah.
You know, if he lands that shot or gets a good takedown, you don't know. You know, you haven't seen John Jones in a bad position yet, really. Yeah.
I mean, the last fight against Machida was not. I mean, they went to. Did it go three rounds or just two?
I think it was just two.
Yeah, but it was he got tagged.
Machida looked all right in the first round.
Yeah, but you know, I think there was one instance in the second. John was coming in, and he got tagged, but you know, at that point, once he gets a hold of you, you're fucked. You're fucked. You can't do anything. He's got a
9-foot wingspan.
Yeah, he's fucking. I think he's got one of the biggest wingspans in like every weight class.
It's not quite 9 foot, but his arm length is bigger than or longer than Stephen Struve.
Yeah, which is like that dude is huge, like tall, big guy, but he's white, so
He's from the Netherlands. He's from Amsterdam.
Yeah, that guy's fucking. That guy's crazy full circle. Too.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back. I think he lost because that law was going through. He's really concerned about, like all the, you know, what's legal now is not going to be legal, and I think that just took a little bit of gas out of his tank. What do you think, Justin?
You know, as far as the UFC stuff goes, you know, I've talked about this before. I'm still like a noob, basically. Yeah.
No, that wasn't really a UFC question. I was just more like a just say yes question.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, there's no way to answer that question.
If you want me to be simple, then yes.
Thank you for being simple. I appreciate
it. Oh, but I do know Spider Silva. Chael Sonnen, not too much. I know of the guy, but I haven't really seen too many of his fights. I know he's a big shit talker. I knew that much. I know I guess mentioned he is like Republican, or he claims
to be. I don't know. I mean, he acts like he is, yes, but in a caricature. That was like a word that I constructed out of like raw wood. That's really rough around the edges.
Dude, Spider Silva, like, he fights in like this like fourth dimensional reality where it's like he's able to like see the move the guy's about to make before he even makes it. So he just like he makes it look so fucking easy, man. That's the trippiest part to me about that guy. It's like he's barely even trying most of the time. He's just like crazy, like these weird movements. Like da-da-da-da-da, you're done.
Yeah. He's like fluid, man.
It's like he can see the fucking Matrix, man. Like there is no spoon for this motherfucker, basically.
That's the fight, because I'm a huge Forrest Griffin fan. He's one of the first fighters that him and like Rich Franklin were my first, like my OG, like I was a fan of. But Forrest, when he fought fucking Anderson, I was telling people, it was like, he's got a chance. That dude's got heart. But Anderson, when he steps up into that next weight class, he is Neo. And he's like fucking like, it was so difficult to watch one of my favorite fighters fighting against Neo, because that shit is not fair. It's like, you know, he dodges punches. He makes people look fucking stupid in the ring.
Yeah.
And it like when he fought who did he face kick that's on the cover of Undisputed 3?
Vitor Belfort
when he fought that was in Brazil. It was like fucking how did that happen? Like that doesn't happen in like actual fighting. That's just like
it happens in the Matrix.
That's a choreographed move that happens in movies. Not like a spontaneous reaction in a fight. And he did it, and it was fucking crazy.
Well, my favorite was Forrest did a radio interview and actually talked about the Anderson Silva fight. And he just started laughing, and Forrest is hilarious.
Fuck yeah.
He's
one of the funniest guys in the UFC. And he started talking about, you know, he just started laughing, and he was like, I was trying to hit him, and he just looked at me like, you stupid, slow white boy. What are you trying to do? And he was like, I don't know. I just kept trying to hit him, and he just kept punching me in the face. He didn't even put his hands up.
Yeah. Fucking, that's got to be the worst goddamn feeling, man. I think the only feeling you could get that would, like, compare to that where you're like, in a fight, in a cage fight, and you're like throwing punches and you can't, like, it's like you're in slow-mo, like you're in a dream and you're fighting.
In a dream. Slow-motion dream.
You're fighting underwater. You're in a dream. Like, there's only one feeling that may compare to that, and that's if, like, you're a black dude and you drop your pants and you have the smallest fucking dick ever.
Oh, my God.
That's, like, the only thing. It's like, I mean, that's probably actually worse, because every fucking chick is expecting a huge honker and you dropping it and you got a little pinky sticking out. That's got to be horrible.
That would suck.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day, and there's got to be black dudes that have like pinky dicks, and it's got to be like so goddamn stressful for them to throw their pants down. Right?
I've heard a few guys that direct porn talk about it, and he's like, yeah, you know, it happens.
You and know, they're in porn? There's black guys with small dicks in porn?
Well, not famous ones.
Oh, well, at least yeah, there's
probably
a fucking
the audition. Probably trying to the audition, you know?
Shit.
Yeah, the casting couch.
So that's the closest yeah. thing that I can compare to Forrest not being able to punch Anderson Silva in the face.
Just not... He couldn't even get close.
I know.
I felt bad for him.
That's what she said. Yeah. That's so horrible. That pissed me off so much because I used to go watch, Justin and I used to go watch a lot of the fights at a bar close to my place. And I don't know if you were there. I was so like heated that night. I was so pissed when that happened.
Did we go to Main Tap for that?
Yeah, one? It was Main Tap. I don't know. I was there. I know that's where I watched it. I can't ever forget where I
this
saw...
fight was a few years ago though, wasn't it? It was like
yeah,
well, was it like 2009?
Yeah,
2008?
No. What? No. It was when you were my roommate. So it was only like a couple years ago.
What are you talking about? Forrest and Silva?
Forrest and Silva, yeah.
Oh, that was a while ago, man.
That's got to be like 2-3 years ago.
I would say more.
I would say you might be right. Anything. What do you think about the Frankie Edgar rematch?
Benson Henderson, Frankie Edgar. I'm tired of seeing. I get he deserves a rematch. It was a close fight. But
Frankie?
I am so tired of seeing Frankie Edgar fight yeah. with or for the belt.
That's true. I can see that. I mean, there's so many like everybody. Well, the thing is, like he beats. Like fucking BJ Penn, and he beats Gray Maynard, and both of them want a rematch, and he gives them a rematch. And now
well, the,
it's like
the first Gray Maynard after the BJ Penn fights,
yeah,
they had a draw.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then there was a rematch, but Gray had beat him before that.
Yeah. So,
the last one was the rubber match.
Rubber match. Yeah. Well, kind of a rubber match if they went to a draw. Is that really still a rubber match?
Well, I mean, it's the third, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess it wouldn't technically be because they weren't 1-1, but,
yeah.
You know, Frankie still hadn't beat him.
Yeah.
And it took him till the third fight to knock him out.
Yeah. I mean, I like it for Frankie. Because I think he's a badass.
That kid's got heart.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. And Benson, the big turning point in that was the knee or the up kick.
The up kick.
Yeah, and it wasn't like he didn't land. I mean, point-wise, I could see Frankie winning that. But, like, damage-wise, obviously Benson won it. But Ben never really seemed very impressive either in his previous fights in the UFC. So... I don't know. It was kind of maybe because he was coming from the WEC or whatever, but I don't know. That one I was kind of like, I don't know. That was a hard one to judge, but I'm pretty biased when I watch some fights.
Yeah, so am I, and I don't envy these judges' jobs, but there's been a lot of bad
calls. There's been some fucking horrible calls. So there's UFC... Just to throw some shit out there that Justin and I might be doing. There's a UFC Expo in Vegas in July 6th and 7th, I believe. I am going to be there, and hopefully Justin will be able to come out and meet me out in Vegas.
Hell yes.
And we might be throwing down a podcast, but there's also a UFC fight on the 7th. And one of the matchups is Forrest Griffin versus Tito Ortiz. And
oh my god, dude, we have to fucking go to that, man.
That is what I'm saying, son. Tickets, like the fights aren't even like officially announced yet. Tickets are far from up for sale. So hopefully I'm going to be buying tickets for that because I need to go to that shit. And there's actually going to be some other fights. It's going to be the coaches from the Ultimate Fighter are going to be fighting Dominic Cruz versus Uriah Faber. So, and then I think the Forest Tito is probably going to be like co-main or third main event. And then it is also going to be Bisping versus Bocek, which should be fucking crazy as well. Hell yeah. So, dude, if I can get, I'll try and buy like 3 tickets. So if you can make it out, then you will have a ticket and my girl will have a ticket and we will go and it's going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, man, I haven't done Vegas since shit 2009. So yeah. I'm more than ready, man.
Sweet.
And by the way, too, that Silva and Forrest fight, I looked it up when you guys were talking earlier. It's 2009. Something went down.
Damn it. Ooh. So 3 years ago.
Three years.
Time flies when you're... Never mind. Yeah, dude. Totally. If you want, Justin, there's... I don't know if they're still available, but you should see if there's the UFC. I'm actually got the... for the expo, I got the VIP passes. So okay. If you want to do that shit, I'm
going
to be
going to... That's the 6th? You're going to be going on the 6th of that, right?
6th and the 7th, and then 7th at night is the fight.
Okay, so you're coming back on the 8th?
No, we're... I'm going to be out there till like the 10th, so...
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be doing other shit, too.
Yeah, it all depends on... I look at how much time I'm going to be getting off for school. That's the only thing, because, okay. You know, my school goes all through the summer and everything else, so... I gotta look at that before I can make a final decision, but sweet. Definitely want to make it out there, though.
Yeah, man. Let me know, and when the tickets come up, I'm just gonna try and buy a few and then see what happens. But cool, I need fucking. I haven't seen a live UFC fight yet, so I'm very jealous that you saw the fights that you saw, Keith. And there was actually one of the I think it was John Jones versus. I'm not sure if it was Brandon Vera or Matyushenko, but it was when he was out in San Diego. I really wanted to go to that one, and I wasn't able to. And it was awesome because he signed off after John Jones won. Stay classy, San Diego. It touched my heart very deeply, and I cried a little bit. But you know what makes me
think about Anchorman 2?
That's what I was going to say. That's what touches my heart and makes it feel better, like a little Band-Aid on a large cut. Justin told me about this. What do you have to think about this, Justin?
Say what?
Anchorman 2, motherfucker. Pay attention.
Yeah, well, yeah, I heard about that, man. I'm the one who... I know. Did you find out about that through me? I'm pretty sure you did.
Said that, actually, just a few seconds ago.
So. I'm drifting away, man. I apologize. Fucking a little faded right now, but I gotta get that video up so you guys can just see how inebriated I am right now. But
yeah, I know. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. Yeah.
You know, so just it'll happen here. So I gotta spin in the back of your fucking truck.
It's not for the back of my truck. It's in the front of my truck because
the front of your truck.
It's been there for like
A month, months. Man. Okay,
since December. America wants to know, we started the podcast again in December. It's been there since we started.
Yeah. Because I think you've described it as like technical difficulties in the past, Ray. Like, you know, we just have technical difficulties that are preventing us from Justin having video. No, it's my lazy ass not going over to where Ray works, which is like 5 minutes from my house and picking up the fucking
webcam. Justin was born with a lazy ass and it can't drive a couple blocks away to pick up a camera. I don't even know if I can make it work. I just can't know or figure it out until you get the camera. So, yeah, I mean... Even after you get the camera, I still need to figure shit out.
I'm gonna make a pledge to America that I will procure, I should say, this webcam from you.
Let me just tell you, America, take all your resources away from AIDS research and cancer research and research on how to cure a lazy ass. Because we need to get Justin healthy again so he can get his fucking camera.
The rest of me's fine as my ass, man.
I know. Yeah, it's fine.
So she's, they make pills for that.
They do. There's surgery for that, too.
There's so much stuff for that. It's amazing. It's amazing how much work they do for that. Okay? What's that?
So the bottom line is there's hope.
Okay? There is hope. Thanks, Obama. Yeah, no, there's so many different like ways to fix that. Modern medical ways
to fix that. Well, I just made a promise to America and the world, I should say, because the internet's not America. It's not just America. It's the world, bro.
That's right.
That I will get this webcam from you before the next episode.
There have literally been Russian people listening to this
You never know. You never know.
No, we're know this, actually.
We're a part of the fucking internet now, Ray. You can't censor that over there.
Let's every one of us say hello to Russia. Hello, Russia.
What's up, Russia? You guys are awesome. You guys make good vodka.
Vodka!
There you go. Prost! Dude, that brings me to another thing. Justin, once in a time, long, long ago, far, far away in a distant galaxy, told me about a show called Three Sheets, about a guy that went across the U.S. drinking at different establishments. Have you ever seen this show, Keith?
I think I've heard of it, and I may have seen a little bit. What channel was it on?
Fuck, I don't know. I think it was like...
This is the Travel Channel, I think, initially.
Wait, and yeah. I think I seen like one episode, but I didn't really get into it that much.
It was Zane Lamprey was the host.
Yeah.
And it got canceled. I think it started on Mojo and then ended up getting bought out and was broadcast on like Fine Living. And then now it's Drinking Made Easy.
Exactly. I was going to say it's evolved into Drinking Made Easy.
Yeah. Which is like the evolution of the show. Fucking awesome show. I think the Three Sheets episodes are available on Hulu, which you can find hulu.com and you can just watch those for free. And the other ones, I don't know. I just downloaded them from good old... allegedly, this guy knew, had an internet connection, and was somehow able to transfer shows and distribute them. And I don't know who he was, but I ended up watching a shitload of the episodes of Drinking Made Easy, and that was cool, too. Actually, I was wrong. The... Three Sheets was he was all around the world, and then Drinking Made Easy was more of a U.S.-based show. Both are cool,
yeah.
Man.
Drinking Made Easy is, yeah, it's all just U.S. cities, but...
Yeah,
I kind of like awesome. Three Sheets, I was a little... I don't know. Drinking Made Easy is awesome because his buddy, Steve McKenna, is a total just, like, insane motherfucker, party animal, has a crazy beard on Drinking Made Easy. He has this insane beard and just, like, is known for chugging whatever. That makes the show a little crazier than Three Sheets, but... I like Three Sheets also, though, because he's going to awesome places like Brussels and, just all over Europe, all the main beer hubs.
It's almost like a Sesame Street for guys who drink. Like, the little intermittent, like, descriptions of shit, like the history of this.
Yeah, exactly. It's informative. It's an informational television show.
Yeah. Fucking awesome. And there's like a drinking game that he does where it's like if you spot a monkey on the show, because he has a little monkey called Pleblius, you spot it, then whoever spots it makes somebody drink. And if anybody burps, like on the show when he's drinking like with local people or bartenders or whatever, whoever burps, you have to put your thumb to your forehead and your pinky up in the air and like a little shaka bra off your forehead. And that's actually every time somebody burps, you do that, and then the last person to do that has to drink. And that's actually my girlfriend and I do that while we're drinking all the time. If anybody burps, like we could be anywhere, if one of us burps, we'll do the thing, and then somebody has to drink.
Just so you guys break out like a flask in public when that happens in public?
Well, no, it's like, obviously, whatever you have to drink. I mean, we don't carry alcohol on us all the time. I mean, most of the time we do, but not all the time. So, like, the majority of our days spent together were mainly fucked up. And, like, her memory in my head is like a blurry hot chick. Just because most of the time I'm fucked up. So fucked up.
Oh, shit.
Even the pictures of her never come out clear, but I think that's just because I can't hold the camera steady. So, anyway... Along with that, what do you think about, let's just like, I'm just going to swing it like a fucking black cock that's not really small. Swing it from right to left.
Lead us.
Yeah, I'm going to lead you into paradise. What do you think about the whole, the last fight with Condit and Diaz?
It was what it was. It wasn't that exciting. I mean,
think Condit won
score it?
What's that?
I couldn't score it. I mean, I think Condit landed more shots, but it looked like he was running away. You know, I don't know. It was, you know, for a, what is it, five rounds, 25-minute fight, there didn't seem like a whole lot of action.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, good footwork. You don't want to get caught on the fence and just let Nick Diaz punch the shit out of you.
Yeah. That's one thing, man. It's like sometimes your game plan is just boring to watch. That's why sometimes the cards that, like, you never, like, there's a lot of unfamiliar names. Like, sometimes those are the most exciting cards because those guys are, like, fighting for a bigger paycheck.
Well, they're fighting for a promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys at the top are, you know, yeah, if you keep performing, you'll make more money.
Yeah.
But these guys at the bottom, you know, they're not making that much for a fight, which, you know, it is what it is. You know, they're still making money off their sponsors and stuff like that. So, but those guys are really fighting to make their name. And, you know, sometimes that's the best thing to see.
Yeah. For sure, man.
So, I was going to say...
What were you going to say?
I loved your shitting in the sink story.
I didn't love doing it.
That really got me. And I have a story about taking a shit once that ended in the death of a cat.
Yeah, you tweeted me this and I read it. The thing with like text messages and Twitter messages, like you don't get the tone. Or sarcasm. There's
you thought it was a sad story about.
I did. I was like, well, we could talk about that, but yeah. You know, I don't want. It's like, funny things are good too. I mean, I don't know. It's like if it was a sad story, like some people tell a sad story, but they're open to like comedic relief in the story. But after you told me it wasn't a sad story or that it was a funny story, and actually you tweeted me back and it made, I kind of got it more. But I would love to hear that story, man.
All right.
Cause I don't know. I mean, I could think of a few things on how to kill a cat with some shit, but I don't.
My shit was not involved in the death of like nothing. My shit never touched the cat.
Okay.
But me taking a shit resulted in a cat dying.
Okay, well, break it down, this freaking shit story.
All right, and I remember the exact, I was 12 years old, and it was Thanksgiving. I was at my dad's house, and the whole family was there, you know, the football, all eating food, and all of a sudden, I just start getting the stomach bubbles.
I know that.
And I know that something bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I've run to the downstairs bathroom and I mean, hell, there was 20 people there. So someone's in there and they probably had the same idea I did just a split second before me. So I'm panicking, right? So I run up the stairs and try to go in the master bedroom's bathroom upstairs, my parents' room. Mm-hmm. And as I open the door and I run through and their bathroom is tucked in around a corner at the end of the room. So I run all the way and I get right before the bathroom and the cat jumps out of the bathroom at the same time I come around the corner. So I yell because the cat scared the shit out of me. The cat turns around and runs up the wall, I'm vertical, straight up, like nails in the drywall. And he's running up the wall. And now I'm amazed. Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen some shit like that before.
this cat turned into Spider-Man on your ass.
Oh, yeah. Completely. Then the cat hits the mirror. And there's no traction on the mirror.
Oh, no.
So all of a sudden, he loses it and kind of kicks away from the wall. Well, he's about 5-6 foot up in the air now. And, he lands directly with his body in the toilet, and his head hits the rim.
Oh, no.
And I'm just standing there, you know, mouth open, just staring. This cat jumps out of the toilet and just tears ass past me. And then I finally realize that, oh, my God, I still have to shit so bad. And because no. that threw me off for a second. Oh, yeah. No. I completely forgot about the shit.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden I jump down on the toilet and it's bad. And, you know, I'm all hunched over and then I let it loose. And it was with such force that the water from the toilet splashed up through my legs and hit me in the face.
Oh my god.
What the fuck? So the cat is still in the toilet.
No. The cat is not in the toilet. The cat got the fuck out of the toilet right after it landed in there.
Okay.
And then I realized, Jesus, I got a shit. So now I'm sitting on the toilet.
Okay.
And after all this had happened, you know, I'm just hunched over feeling horrible. And I let it go and it splashes back up in my, like, against my face.
Oh.
And that ruins your life, right? That there, you know, does. Especially yes. I was 12. That was the shittiest thing, pun intended, that had ever happened.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I finish up, you know, I'm horrified. I wash the hell out of my face.
Yeah. And
so now I'm wondering, what the fuck's up with the cat? Like, is the cat has posted up at the top of the steps? And is now just hissing. Like, not really particularly at anyone, just hissing for hours on it.
Just general disgust with what just happened.
Well, he didn't see what happened after that.
Yeah.
But he hit his head so hard. It's like he went completely batshit crazy. Like, he couldn't get close.
Oh my God.
It just kept hissing. Like, there was, like I said, no one could, you couldn't even look at it. It would just go crazy.
Yeah.
And my dad is not particularly a cat person. Especially back then. You know? Very young parent. So my dad walks up to the cat and he starts playing the hissing game, you know, just freaking out. Like, I think he scratched him when he put his hand down. So, my dad took the cat on a cruise.
What?
And, yeah.
A little cruise.
Little dad little pussy cruise.
A little cruise, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I will say I never saw the cat again. I can't completely confirm that he's dead, but I don't assume that my dad just pulled over in the country, knowing my dad as well as I do.
Yeah.
Just gingerly let the cat out and said, go be free. So that's my story of how I mentally scarred myself for life by getting my own shit water in my face and killed the cat simultaneously.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
By the actually taking a shit.
The consequences of one bowel movement can be severe.
I mean, that's tell what the story proves. That could be the shit heard around the world. Like, if you took a shit that started a war, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some, maybe not a war, but like a battle started by like somebody taking a shit. You know, I can see a lot of like frat house parties, like battles and frat house parties started from some asshole taking a shit in a bathroom, or maybe not a bathroom, just somewhere that he wasn't supposed to. I can see a battle starting from that.
Dude, from his dump that day, a cat went crazy and was then murdered. And he got poop in his own face, man. You can't top that.
It's like a Rube Goldberg way of fucking killing a cat.
It's allegedly murdered. Allegedly murdered, I'm sorry.
No, well, the cat passed away in one form or another. I mean, nobody's out searching for it, so.
Yeah, he was, the cat had completely gone crazy. Like, I really like don't
go crazy, too. I don't
just
know
just like that,
you.
Too, huh? Like, it happened instantly after the incident? Like, it was right away.
Head trauma, man. You know, you hitting the head hard enough.
Damn, that's just crazy.
Look at Gary Busey. He got in that motorcycle accident.
That's very true.
That's true, yeah.
It was Frank Mir. Frank Mir is fucking breaking arms now. Guy's fucking insane.
He was doing that before the accident, but...
That's true, but now he has an excuse. Maybe before he was doing it for defensive reasons. Now he's just fucking nuts. Anyway.
It's crazy.
I brought it back to MMA and it just went silent. No, that's fucking insane, man.
I know, it's trippy how the brain, I mean, obviously you have a skull to protect this and all, I mean, animals do too, cats do too, but, you know, if the brain gets affected at all, if you hit your head hard enough, you know, that shit can happen, man.
So, are you a cat person, Keith?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You are? Are you like more of a cat, or are you a dog person, or are you just?
Like, I'm more of a cat person. I like my own time. I like to be able to leave and not really worry about, you know, a dog taking a shit or piss everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I can leave for 5 days and just fill two giant bowls up with food and water. Yeah. The cats are going to be fine. You leave a dog in your house 5 days. And I mean, I like dogs. I grew up around dogs, but just not a dog person.
Yeah. What about you, Justin? Justin?
Say what? Hello?
Are you a dog person or a cat person?
It's hard to say, man. I haven't really, like, lived with any cats, really. I mean, when I was living
you
over...
just lived close with a bunch of pussies.
Say what? Huh? Was that... Oh, okay. Oh, I heard it. Okay. I get you now.
All right. Is it, like, super delayed or just my
jokes? Right then it was. Not just then it wasn't, but...
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, I'd say I'm more of a dog person overall. I just have lived with dogs more, more comfortable around dogs than I am with cats. It's just, you know, just my situation growing up and whatnot that has led me to that conclusion. No, I don't have nothing against cats, really. I think dogs, yeah, they take more of an effort to,
you know,
keep a dog up and, you know, keep him healthy, make sure he has the attention he needs. They take more effort than cats do, for sure. But I think you get more out of it in return versus cats. That's my personal opinion. I mean, cats, you know, they're cool, but as far as if they're loyal to you.
Yeah.
I haven't met too many cats that were loyal to their masters. I mean, if they want to take off, they're going to fucking take off and not ever come back. So it's hard. I don't know. There's nothing against cats, but I think that dogs are more worth the effort, I should say. But that's just from my experience still. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah, I'm more of a dog person. I grew up with dogs. I mean, I had cats and stuff, but... cats are like, you can't play. I mean, you can play around with them a little bit.
They're cool to hang out with and just, you know, chill with. That's what's awesome about cats, because they'll just like lay there for hours, you know.
I wouldn't go on like a jog with a cat or go on a hike with a cat.
I don't think they're going to let you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess it would depend on just like how you, if your day is spent more at home or like, I don't know, I guess it just depends on the type of person you are. I don't know.
I had a cat that played fetch.
What's that?
I had a cat that played fetch.
See, now that's not awesome. Normal for a cat. So you've been spoiled by the cat.
But I have two cats now, and neither of them are that cat. Yeah. But my cat right before would play fetch, and he would play until I just had to quit.
Yeah,
like it wasn't like he'd bring it back once and it was cute. He would just constantly do it.
See,
and it was a medium sized stuffed Valentine's bear, and he always carried it around by the crotch.
Well, that's a cat that knows what he wants or she.
It just looks so funny to see my cat carrying this little red bear around by just biting its dick.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the bear didn't actually have a dick because this is stuffed bear.
You know, I didn't check.
I mean, and if it did have a dick, you need to tell me where you bought that bear. So
for the imaginative mind that he obviously has, it's funny. That's all right, true. Ray.
I'm sorry.
He was able to put two and two together.
Damn it, I can't do math. How dare you? But yeah, so I've seen like you posted a few videos online about like some racist squirrel wars.
Yeah, what's all that about? Those videos are crazy, man. It happens every day, or.
Yeah, that's in my backyard. There's at least three different types of squirrels. There's gray, there's black, and there's the regular like, brownish red.
Also, it's like different tribes, Mexican like tribal warfare. Squirrels.
Yeah, and there's actually there's one that I can always notice because he's a black one with half a tail. He's in one of the Squirrel Wars videos, and they all just gang up on each other and beat the shit out of each other, and it's a race war. Different squirrels will control the backyard for a day or so, and then another group will move in and they'll just kick their ass, take over their shit, and you know, they move from the front yard to the back. But that's just me sitting in my sunroom with a little digital camera. Just looking out the window, sitting here high as shit, going, "What the fuck is going on out there?"
That's awesome, man.
You got the red squirrels versus the brown squirrels, and it's
battle
of the death.
So you're like a more like, or is that rural? where it's like
I live in the middle of town. The mall is right beside my house.
And you have a yard?
Yeah. Oh man, I'm in the middle of nowhere. You're living in San Diego. Yeah, I'm living in bumfuck Egypt.
That's you have a strange accent for bumfuck Egypt. Man. Let me tell you something. That's more of an Ohio accent.
Well,
but that, BFE is
I'm well traveled.
Oh well. Touche, sir. Touche. That's awesome. That's cool, man. So,
but we both made a postal problems video. That's kind of how
yours was fucking hilarious, Ray.
And oh yeah, too, that's right. We did. Say, I Keith, forgot about
both
that.
Both you guys' videos were fucking hilarious.
Well, I did two. I did
the one with the guy trying to get the door shut. I think it was the first one you did.
Yeah,
right?
I did one that was like I did the voice of both of the different guys. And then the second one I did was more of like a British like observer type, like we're analyzing this culture of people.
That was like the crocodile hunter almost.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. It was like I'd never done anything like that before, and the two voice one, I'd record a few times, and the first time I tried to do both of the voices like one after the other. And the second time I was like, well, I'm just going to do one dude's voice and just do it all the way through. And then I'm going to lay in the second dude's voice as if they're having a conversation. But when I went to go record the second dude's voice, I didn't realize that I wouldn't be able to hear the first dude's voice. So I was like, trying to remember
what you said.
Yeah. And I kind of knew, but like, it just happened to like work out good enough. Like there were some things that you couldn't make out from it, but it worked out good enough. I was like, I was totally happy with it, because it's like the first time I'd done anything like that. And then the second time I was like, well, I kind of wanted to do this like a little British, like I'm discovering two black people trying to load up a mail truck. And it was fun, man. And you did like a two voice thing, right?
Yeah,
but you did it like, you probably did it like at the same time.
I did it the same time, yeah. And I watched it a couple times to try to get down what I thought, and then, but the voices are, it's like a second slower than I wanted it to be. It was the first video I'd ever done. Like I said, I'm real new to, I only had a computer for a year, so I was telling you, I had to click everything to even figure out how to do it. But, my concept was they were shipping out a million fleshlights.
Yep.
And
I was actually gonna do that on the first one too. I was gonna do fleshlights, but I forget what I did. I don't think I like mentioned anything, but I was gonna do like fleshlights too. So it was like so funny when I heard that you were doing the fleshlight thing. I was like, oh, I took it, but it is good. You didn't take it. You just, we think similar.
Well, what are you thinking about all the other Death Squad families shit? Like Mish the Dish has been putting out her own mini podcast or whatever, and Postal Poet's been doing his thing. Like,
I think it's fucking awesome. I think it's amazing. I think it's inspiring. I think it's motivating. I'm glad. It like makes me feel so good that like they give me like our podcast, the Inspired Disorder podcast, that they appreciate the support that we give. And it's like, I'm just doing this podcast, starting it up again. I'm like so happy that we have listeners that actually interact with us this time. And, so that's very fulfilling. And then it's like being able to like, you know, communicate online or just like kind of have influence people and have people influence us. I think that's fucking amazing. So I think, you know, I'm just like, it totally motivates me and totally inspires me. And it's awesome that they feel the same way. But that's a nice, very nice segue that you did, because something that I kind of led or tweeted about and
teased, your big announcement
on the announcement, that I actually want to start doing a second podcast. So far I'm only doing this one, the Inspired Disorder podcast, but I had thought to do a new podcast and title it The Inspired Disorder Collective. And that kind of came about from just using that hashtag as far as like people that I know listen to this show or talk about this show and like things that they come up with. And I thought of doing like similar to how, you know, the Joe Rogan Experience is Red Band producing the Joe Rogan podcast, like as if this podcast that we're doing is me and Justin and then the guests we have on like you, that's like the Joe Rogan podcast. And then I wanted to start doing a second one, but, you know, I don't have a lot of time. Most people don't have a lot of time. And, you know, I mean, I have my day job. Everybody else has their day job. But I wanted to, like, kind of put together a Death Squad type of podcast. Or I just actually just want to start producing another podcast. So the idea is for the Inspired Disorder Collective is to basically host the podcast for Postal Poet and Mish the Dish. So Ramble On from Mish the Dish and Postal Poet. Postal Poet's been doing some crazy shit. He started off with Ask My Boss. Then he went to Going Postal. And then he also has Making Noise or Keep Making Noise. I forget what he calls it. But he's kind of split off from the Ask My Boss thing. Started doing these other things that are like, it's like, He's doing like some really creative things that I've wanted to do but never really done, and that's super fucking awesome. And basically I just wanted to create a podcast of just people, one, people that listen to this podcast, but also just like people that are inspiring and that like that inspire me. And I just wanted to give them like kind of a channel of something that if you're into the Inspired Disorder podcast, then this is kind of like the meta, like the people that are involved with creating or being a part of the Inspired Disorder podcast. So right now, I actually was tweeting Postal Poet and Mish the Dish last night. I was actually going to just surprise everybody and announce it on the podcast tonight, but I was just like thinking about it a lot and super excited. And I just wanted to give them the heads up. So, I told them both about it. They're both in. So within the next couple days, there will be the Inspired Disorder Collective podcast up on iTunes and Stitcher. And there will be a page on inspireddisorder.com. It'll be inspireddisorder.com/collective. And that's going to be the site for the Inspired Disorder Collective podcast. I'm going to do a landing page for both, basically for anybody that has like a show, which I wouldn't mind, expanding, but for right now, so Postal Poet will have his own page where, you know, give his, whatever contacts he wants, like his Twitter. If he wants to set up like a PayPal donation thing, or a fucking Amazon wish list, or whatever he wants to do, if he wants to make money on it, I'll put it on his little landing page. Same thing with Mish the Dish. And basically, like, I wanted to produce something, but I didn't want to have to do, like, one, it's really hard to set up times with everybody, especially since when you're working with people that are, like, spread across the U.S. in different time zones. Like, right now, it's fucking, you know, super late. It's like 1:30 in the morning for you, or 2:30 in the morning.
2:30.
Thank you. Yeah. It's even worse than I had initially expected. But, you know, Mish is on the East Coast. Postal Poet's in freaking Central time.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours for him.
Yeah. So setting up like a thing where they call in and like produce something, that's not going to work. So it's basically whatever they record, whatever they do, I'm just going to broadcast it, re-release it. Maybe I'll work out and do like an intro to it. I don't really know. I'm kind of just playing it by ear, but I really wanted to have a place where people, that want to try and do podcasting, if like you want to start doing podcasting, what, however, you know, if that's something you're interested in, I mean, I know you want to start doing comedy and stuff like that. So like, maybe you start doing that and you meet people, you want to interview them. I don't know, whatever. But anybody that's listening to this, that you know, wants to do a podcast, but doesn't really know how to host it and all that kind of shit. And I'm still going to do my tutorial video on how I set up everything. And if at any time anybody wants to just go on their own, they can do that. If they want to keep their separate iTunes account to release their stuff, but still want to re-release it with on my feed, that's cool. But I think it'd just be a cool way for people, if they wanted to subscribe to all the people that are related to Inspired Disorder, it's a cool way for them to just get all that in the same pipeline. So the Inspired Disorder Collective podcast should be going up within the next week. I'll try and throw that up on my website and put it up on iTunes and all the Stitcher and everything else. So far the two podcasts will be the Mish the Dish, Ramble On, and Postal Poet, which he's actually doing a couple right now, but those are the two people doing podcasts. And it would be really cool, I would think, to do like a kind of, since it's so related to like the Death Squad kind of format on how to do everything, to do like, if just get everybody, find a time when everybody can come on and like do like an Ice House Chronicles type of thing. I don't know. Who knows if we can work that out, but you know, that's kind of the announcement that I was going to do on tonight's podcast, was that there's a second podcast going with people. Done.
Shazam, bitches.
Yes. Yeah.
Fucking boom.
So, awesome. And yeah, it's like, and it's a thing where, and if they want to do like guests or whatever, and they, you know, I can help like connect them, like I'll be the red band in their episode, I'll connect you and record it and all that stuff. So like, if you want to go on Postal Poet's episode, Mish the Dish wants to go on your episode or whatever, you know, like we can all kind of mingle in, and I'll try and fix it all to where we can do if they want to get guests on. But for the most part, it's like their individual thing, and I'm just gonna help, you know, broadcast it out. But
it's fucking awesome, man. It's a good idea. Perfect idea. I kind of saw it coming, like I told you, when you first told me about it a couple days ago. I was like, well, once I saw Mish and Postal Poet doing her thing, I was like, I kind of put two and two together. I was like, well, Ray, you should get yourself out there and try to connect with all this. And then 2 days later, you sent me that text.
Yeah.
So, awesome job.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I mean, initially, I mean, I've wanted to do this for a while, produce other podcasts.
And I know that's why I knew that you were going to take the first step.
Yeah.
It's because I know you've been talking about it for a long time.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. So soon it will be up. InspiredDisorder.com/collective or InspiredDisorder Collective on iTunes. Still setting everything up. So hopefully within the next week, I'll get everything set up. I still need to talk to them, see if they want their back episodes up. I would assume so. And they can keep their whatever feeds they have going. I'm just going to try and make it as easy as possible for them to just record whatever they do, send it to me, and for me to upload. It's just going to be the easiest way possible. And then if other people listening to this have a podcast idea, want to try something, I don't really care. But if you're a listener of the show and you're interested in just fucking trying something, fucking send it my way. I'll see what's going on and I'll try and add it to the queue, as it were, in the English, folks, and the Netflix. Right. So anyway, that's the big announcement. Thank you. And that is not an April Fool's joke. Ha ha ha. Because I've been talking about it for days.
Well, technically, it's not April Fool's no more for those others that are joining.
I can't fucking take it back, man. It's already out there. I can't take it back no more.
So are we going to have to start calling you Ray-Ban now?
Fuck no, man.
Ray-Ban. That's perfect. Holy
fucking
shit.
Fucking Ray-Ban.
I sent that to Tom Segura, and because they were they started their own thing, and they're like had this inside there's joke that like Blue Band was doing their thing, and they somehow they deleted an episode or whatever, they lost an episode that they recorded, and they blamed it on this mythical Blue Band, which doesn't really exist. And I was like, if you hire Ray-Ban, that would never happen. And I think No Susquehanna retweeted me on Twitter. I can't be sure. But, hey, man, I will be Ray-Ban if some comedian needs some help or some high-profile dude needs some help. I'll do that, but you need to like at least try to be on Inspired Disorder Collective for a little bit. You know, give me some.
Sure. Also helps to have the money that they have too. Their fucking gear they use in those shows is fucking outrageous.
Yeah. Well, I actually just ordered mic arm. Actually, the same like mic arms that they use on. The Death Squad Studios, because this one sits like so far away, and I just want better audio. I'm slowly starting to upgrade everything. So Justin, beware, you may be getting some more shit too. And then also, if things work out, then also the people that podcast on the Inspired Disorder Collective podcast, I'm gonna try and hook them up with better gear to help them do, you know, better quality, just up the production value of everything. So dude, it's a family, man. Like, we're all in it to win it as a group, you know? Like, I am nothing if nobody listens to me. Just as, you know, there's a whole family of people, and it's like, we, you know, whether you're Death Squad or Inspired Disorder Collective or whatever, you know, or UFC fans or Joe Rogan fans or Duncan Trussell fans or Ari Shaffir fans or Justin King fans, we're all in it together, and the best thing you can do is just try to help out somebody else. And because when you do that, especially when you help out somebody that's already helping you out and they don't even know it, you know, like when helping out Post a Poet and Mish the Dish, not that I'm helping them out. I mean, I think they're doing amazing on their own. But I think it would be really awesome just to bring everybody together. But they motivate me like a motherfucker, you know, like when I go to work, like today we're doing the podcast. Like when I go to work or when I'm like doing whatever, and I look at my phone and I have like a screen full of fucking Twitter like messages, when I have to consider my notification center settings on my iPhone to maybe limit the amount of displayed Twitter comments and messages, that makes me feel good, you know? So
damn pimp.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's most of the time it's like my name gets tagged in the conversation between people talking about, like today, there's a lot of people talking about how late we were recording today, because a lot of people that listen to this are on like not our time zone. Most people, I actually don't know. There's a few people that I actually know that listen to us in our time zone, but most of them are fucking way late, and big ups to you guys, because
especially Keith, man, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning for this guy right now. Yeah. Man,
you know,
fucking, that's dedication right there. We appreciate that.
No problem. I appreciate you guys letting me get my voice out there
for sure. And I've been talking like a motherfucker, and I'm sorry. It's just, we led into like the thing, and then like I put it out there, and now I'm done with the thing.
Well, it was a perfect segue. I agree.
That was. It was nice and smooth, like fucking silk diapers on a baby. That was kind of weird. yeah.
Silk diapers on a baby's ass?
That's pretty smooth. I mean, it's got to be like really smooth, like very little friction when it's silk on a baby's ass, because those are very smooth substances or like surfaces. So anyway, Keith.
Yeah, let's get away from that. We're talking about Keith.
What's up with your profile picture, man?
the mask?
Yeah.
You like that? That's actually a mask I have in my house. It's an old, I think it's a Chinese opera mask. My grandfather used to live in Singapore, and he collected antiques, and so he got that in his travels in Asia.
That's awesome.
It's very, it looks very Guy Fawkes, you know, the anonymous dude.
Yeah. I've actually got the anonymous mask hanging on the other side of the wall, and they're nice. Kind of mirrored image.
That's awesome.
It looks like a modified version of that to me, anyways.
It's kind of a Cyrano de Bergerac. It's got the real long nose, or Pinocchio, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. It's just weird. I wear, you know, most of my profile pics aren't really of my face. You know, I've tweeted a few pics of, like, when I got my wreck and my face is all half ripped off.
Dude, that was fucking crazy.
Yeah, just a reminder to everyone out there, don't drink and drive. I can attest that it is, you get away with it most of the time, but I don't even remember getting in my car, and I was going about 70. Evidently, I had ran a red light. This is all secondhand. I'm hearing this, but I had ran a red light, and a cop was right there, and I just took off. Yeah. I was in town. I tried to round the corner, 35 mile an hour curve doing 70, and I missed, and it went through a telephone pole, hit a couple of small trees, rolled the truck, and I flew out and landed on my face and skidded to a halt.
Holy shit.
But if you don't have insurance, which I didn't at the time, medical insurance, mm-hmm. I was only in the hospital 5 hours.
Holy shit.
They told my parents I didn't have a concussion. And I've watched enough sporting events to see guys get slapped in the head.
Yeah.
And they go out with a concussion. Well, I took a 70 mile an hour head on wreck and then flew out and landed on my face. But I was all right to go home. I didn't know what hospital I was in until I left. I don't really remember much of the next few days, but, It was messed up. It was a bad time in my life. You know, I always tell people, you know, don't drink and drive.
Yeah.
In fact, right after that, I had taken that picture. Not too long after that, I was at home and someone knocked on the door, and it was a lawn care guy that treats the lawn at my house. And when I opened the door, he just looked at my face, and I've seen stuff like that where you don't want to react. So I could see the look of horror in his face because I look like Two-Face from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And so we did our business. You know, I could barely walk or barely talk. And then I closed the door. Well, I opened it back up and stuck my head out and yelled to him. I said, and remember, don't drink and drive. And just the look on that guy's face and at first it was horror, and then he just smiled and kind of shook his head. But it's bad news.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you're lucky.
A little bit of an understatement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
No broken bones. I didn't break anything.
I actually saw that tweet you sent out, and it was a while ago, and I don't remember. Yeah. I think it was like in reply to another tweet or something like that. But yeah, it was fucking insane, man. And then like, it's fucking lucky as fuck, man.
Yeah. Even though it happened is, you know, shitty, obviously it fucking sucks, man. But you know, it could always be worse. You got to look at it that way. You know, even though what happened to you fucking sucks and that's insane that happened to you. And I feel bad, man. But you know, like I said, it could always be worse, you know.
Man, no one should feel bad, man. I'm alive, and you know, obviously, I just made a bad life choice at that point. Mm-hmm. And you know, I learned from my mistake.
Yeah.
Dude. You know, that's what life's all about, right? You know, you make mistakes and you learn.
Yeah,
it's true.
I mean, you never know what's gonna happen. I mean, fucking people do stupid shit all the time, and like. All the time, that stupid shit they're doing has like crazy consequences that they never thought about because there's so many fucking videos on YouTube about those stupid things. And one of those things is just driving when you shouldn't be driving.
I was just happy I didn't kill anyone.
Yeah. Oh, for
sure. You know, I wasn't so much worried about myself. I made it through it. But, you know, if there would have been a passenger in my vehicle, I waited like a month to see my truck. Yeah. And the passenger would have been dead. There was no passenger seat.
Holy shit. Man,
that's insane. Yeah, one of the stupidest. I mean, I'm not condoning. I don't condone. I don't do it. I mean, I don't even go out anymore, really. I mean, when I do go out, I pretty much either myself or my girlfriend, one of us is going to stay sober and we're going to drive. Like, I just don't go out like I used to go out. And one of those things, like, that I've gambled so long, like, when you're young, you kind of gamble doing that because, you know, everybody fucking young just does that shit. It's wrong and you shouldn't do it. And it's
that's like, all we did in high school.
Yeah.
No one had an apartment, so we just drove around getting drunk, and there's nothing but country around.
How old were you when that happened?
Oh, that accident was a year and a half ago.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean...
I have a nice Scarface scar uh-huh. going through my eye, which I always thought as a kid, you know. When I was a little kid, every villain you see in a movie... Every cool scar is always a scar that goes right through someone's eye.
Yeah.
It goes through the top and then goes through the bottom. You see it in a million movies, even video games. Sub-Zero's got that scar.
Yeah.
But, I always remember thinking that as a kid. And now that I have it, it's not as cool as I thought that it might be.
Well, you never think of how they got it, and you know exactly how you got it.
And it's the worst story, you know, like I actually resorted to, I got attacked by a crocodile. I think that I was going with that for a while. It
was you made up stories for it? Homage to
Happy Gilmore.
Did you really make up stories for it?
I do, but I do it just to fuck with people. Okay. I always tell them what really happened.
Oh, you might as well, man.
Yeah, but
I lead them down that path as
well. Yeah, have fun with it.
Let me take it, you know, if they really believe it.
What you gotta say?
I'll run with that shit.
One time you gotta say that aliens were just really fucking drunk, and this is what happens when aliens are drunk.
The anal probe slipped.
Yeah, they thought my fucking forehead was my anus, and now this is what happens. It's drinking is bad, and then you can lead into the whole drinking and driving thing. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Insane. I've been caught up as well, Keith. Nothing crazy happened with mine. Fortunately, just got caught leaving the bar, basically. But I've gone down too, man.
Yeah, dude. For me, I mean, it's like I never got a DUI. Knock on particle board. And but you know, I've fucking, you know, when you're young, you're just fucking stupid, you know. And there was one time after I moved out to San Diego, I actually sold my car to a friend of mine and I bought a motorcycle. And I never had a motorcycle before, so it was like I was learning to ride and that was my only means of transportation. And there was one time I went after work. It was one of the guys from work was it was like their going away party or whatever at a bar, the Hearth House, which we talked about before, hole in the wall bar that's like my favorite bar ever, in San Diego or La Mesa, California. This was like his going away thing, and fucking, you know, what happens at the Hearth House is they make really strong mixed drinks, and I got really fucking drunk, and you know, I hopped on my bike, and I lived like only a few blocks away, but I made it home, and I was fine, but it was pretty much the dumbest fucking thing I've ever done, like, in that sense, and I just got away with it, and it's kind of been that thing that's like, I got away with doing really fucking stupid shit, and the thing with when you're on a motorcycle is, like, you're not really gonna hurt anybody. The only person you're really gonna hurt, if anything, is yourself, and maybe somebody might, like, run over you and get a flat tire or something like that, but... So it's really fucking stupid, and I got away with it. And it's like, if you don't have like some realizations in your life, like where you realize like the things that you're doing and how you're getting away with like doing extremely fucking stupid shit, like that you just end up keep doing them, you know. But
When there's no consequences, it doesn't matter. You're just like, whatever. I've done it a million times. I can do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to think I was the best bus driver ever. Yeah. You know, I'm sure we all did at one point. Like, oh, I'm fine. I had like four beers. No big deal. You know, and truth be told, I mean, I only had a couple drinks tonight. I got hit up, but all it took was that cop posted up watching the parking lot, and I left at the right time.
Yeah.
That's all it could take. You know, you could just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And still get caught up doing that shit. Yeah. So you do it enough times, it's going to happen, man. That's what it comes down to with all that stuff. All the people out there listening who you might risk that shit here and there. It's like, it's going to happen. You know, you risk it enough times.
Exactly.
Your turn will come.
It's gambling. Like, you have to know when to like, you know, freaking cash out. It's like, okay, I've gotten away with it enough times. I haven't died or killed anybody yet. Or fucking done anything serious, I just cash out. I'm done. You know, and you never know when that time is, you know? So, fucking, who knows, man? Who fucking knows? This could all be a fucking virtual simulation. Fucking, we may not even be real. We may just be, like, biological sims of fucking a video game that somebody's playing.
We're all the big test tube, man.
Even if we are,
yeah,
that shit still hurt really bad.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Well, that's
I don't care if it's real or fake. That shit hurt for real.
How long did it take you to recover from that?
I don't know. It was I was limping for about a month, and I actually was recovering from a broken leg when I got in the accident.
Well. That's not cool.
No, I had broke my leg playing softball.
And it wasn't that soft, was it?
No, well, it wasn't the ball that did it. But no, I've been a little accident prone here these last few years. I broke my kneecap at work in the bathroom.
Jesus, what the fuck? How do you fucking break your kneecap in the bathroom at work? I don't want to get emotional about that, but I just don't want to have to go into my bathroom at work and be afraid of my kneecap getting busted.
Now, so, this was totally my fault.
Okay, but, well, that's good.
I was at work, and, you know, the bathroom, I was working at a factory, and the bathroom's, you know, the fucking hiding spot or whatever. And I went in there, I had to drop a deuce, and after I got out, you know, my back was hurting me, and I was stretching my back, holding on to the top bar of the, like, over top of the door of the shitter, and stretching my back, and then all of a sudden I just grabbed it and did a pull-up, just fucking around, and the bar broke. So I fell about 2 feet straight down onto my kneecap on cement.
Oh my God.
And then, I'm freaking out because I'm at work. I just broke the shitter. I mean, at least just this wooden piece above the door.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm, you know, I just thought it was a stinger. And I thought, oh, Jesus, this hurts. And I tried to walk it off. And I walked around the factory for a little bit trying to grit my teeth and not act like I was hurt. And then finally it was just... it was lights out. So, yeah, I broke my kneecap in half doing pull-up in the bathroom at work. Again, it sounds ridiculous.
It does, and it sounds so painful, too.
Yeah, but it sounds so, like, why would you do a pull-up in the bathroom at work? That's fucking...
You know...
And I just did it. I don't know why. I just grabbed a hold of it, pulled up, and, you know, I got real light real quick when that shit broke off. Yeah. All of a sudden, that bar was right in front of my face as I was falling.
Ah, damn it.
Oh, my God, dude.
I think my dick just curled up, like, inside of me a little bit out of fear.
Well, actually, on the way to the hospital, the guy who drove me there was a supervisor. And to get my mind off it, he started telling me a story about when he worked at a steel mill. These guys were rolling these giant, they were big, you know, steel logs pretty much. Like, big tubes, like, and they were on a rack, and the guy was trying to push one over. And he was up on the rack with it, and he pushed it. Well, it rolled back, and it probably weighed 3,000 plus pounds at least. If it was steel, probably way more than that. And it steamrolled his dick.
Oh, shit.
It caught his dick in between, like he was,
God damn it.
And it's, but this story helped me so much with what I was going through.
That's true.
Then I was thinking, well, my dick didn't get steamrolled. I'm going to be all right. So anytime you ever hurt yourself, just think, your dick could have got steamrolled.
That's true. That's like I said earlier, Keith, it could have been worse.
Yeah. It could have been worse.
Your dick could have got steamrolled after you your face hit the ground.
Jesus Christ.
No doubt. But when he... Well, I asked him, I'm like, so what, you know, he said they took him to the doctor and the doctor just told him to piss. Like, he's like, there's nothing we can do. He's like, you just gotta, he's like, it'll come back.
Fuck. It'll come back.
It'll come back. Like, I don't trust
God
that.
Damn. How do you get a pancake dip to come back from pissing?
I don't understand it, and I didn't want to, but even if he was making it up, it made me feel better.
That's
about
true.
How bad
I suppose that's a good story to tell somebody.
It makes me feel better about my own dick too, because if your dick and the steel would come back after that, that's a fucking awesome body part right there.
Well, they sewed John Bobbitt's dick back on.
Hey, you know what happened?
That's true, man. It's fully functional. And I can do crazy shit nowadays.
I worked at a movie theater.
It's 2012, man. It's fucking nuts.
I worked at a movie theater, and the movie with Deuce Bigelow movie was out. I was working in the movie theater in Rancho Mirage when that movie came out, Deuce Bigelow. And John Bobbitt came in, and one of my best friends was taking tickets, and he tore John Bobbitt's ticket and gave it to him. So that happened. That was real. Tore his ticket. Not his dick.
You should have torn that.
See his dick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, see how this ticket resembled your old dick?
He should have tore the, tore the ticket like in half, like towards the top, just to like make a statement.
Yeah.
You know?
He should have.
How many times has that dude been asked to see his dick? I mean, that's got to be the number one question.
Like, well, he was in porn.
That's why he
was actually in porn after that.
Like, you almost got just have to show it to everyone, but still.
Yeah. It's a freak show.
If I met John Bobbitt, I'd be like, all right, let's see.
And you know what sucks? You know what's the worst thing about that? Is that, like, the black guys that have the really, really pinky dicks still feel bad. They're like, fuck, at least I would have had a dick that I could sew back together if it got cut off.
Well, with all the stem cell research.
That's
true.
They
could probably grow, you know, it was on South Park. You know, grow me a dick.
Yeah, man.
Grow me a big dick.
Yeah,
they're doing crazy shit with stem cell research nowadays. They're getting it from fat cells, man, from like people's like humongous asses that they have nowadays.
There's a lot of them.
That's true, but they're stretching it now from that. The place I used to work for actually specialized in doing that shit. It's fucking nuts, man. The stereotype is still like it comes from like you know spinal cords and fetuses and shit, but it can be taken from anywhere now.
Stem cell, yeah.
Exactly. No, it can come from anywhere now, though, man. It's fucking nuts.
It could come from your nuts.
It could come from your nuts.
Can they grow you new nuts?
I don't know about that. That's a little fun. You're
they
talking
can implant
like Star Trek
a fake
Next Generation,
one,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Maybe that's the next step.
For sure, like replicator. You know, they replicate food. Just replicate me new balls.
Yeah. New balls. What would it feel like? Would they itch all the time, though? Or would they be swollen? What happens if, like, you're in the... Like, you go on a plane ride and it just swells up. And you got, like, this big ball.
Well,
like,
thing,
only your right ball was big, and your left ball is just jealous because your right ball is all big on the plane ride.
Well, I'm sorry. If in Star Trek times, they can teleport themselves from one place to another. They have the technology at that point to replicate new balls to themselves. Because, I mean, they're breaking down the entire molecular structure of a whole fucking human and then replicating that entire structure somewhere else. And that the code involved in that, the information involved in that is, it's crazy. That's like, it's you're crazy. Talking like fucking, that's beyond where they're at, basically.
So do you think that like the future is actually going to be like Star Trek, or do you think it's just going to accelerate way past where Star Trek even thought of? Like, there'll be implements of Star Trek in there, but it's not going to be like,
well, it's
mundane.
It's a mixed bag, because some of the shit that they, you know, were touting in Star Trek technology wise is already here now. Like, mm-hmm. look at
their, they didn't have no iPhones.
Yeah, exactly. They had like little communicator badges they would press.
It was a walkie-talkie.
It was a walkie-talkie.
It was a fucking Nextel phone.
And they're like, you know, they're walking around like the next generation with like these little tablet computers, and they're touching it and stuff. That's the iPad. It's here. Yeah. So, but then you look at like I just said, like the holodeck or the transporter or the replicator, and that's like going way beyond even like in my imagination where we'd be even like in. I think they're supposed to be in like the year 2300.
Yeah.
For Star Trek,
dude, or that's
possible for 2300.
The 2300s is like where they're supposed to be at.
That's weak, son. That's weak, son. That's weak sauce.
Who knows, man? I mean, it's moving so fast. Who knows,
dude,
man?
Now that I've like I put Apple TVs in both rooms, living room and my bedroom. Well, one, it's fucking bomb that I can just like I'll be watching like I'll pull up Death Squad video because I try to watch them or the Joe Rogan one, and I'll just like shoot it over to I'll do the AirPlay thing over to Apple TV, so I'll just like watch it on my Apple TV off my phone, and then my phone it doesn't like ever use any battery life. It's like very minimal, and I'll be watching that, or it's like the technology is moving so fucking fast that we don't even know. And now that I have like the Apple TV, I'm starting to watch TED Talks again. Which I think I've like talked about it a couple times. I know on the old podcast and probably at least once or twice since we started again. But I was watching him again the other night, and there was this one chick from DARPA, and there were two things that they were she was talking about. One was how flight started off, like how people not that long ago said that flight was impossible, and now they're working on something that goes Mach 20, which is completely impossible by like any standards known as today. But like not only going Mach 20, but being able to control a flight at Mach 20, which I don't know how fast that is, but it's like they
That's like 10 levels beyond what I heard we can even do. That's insane.
It's she was talking about the progression, how people didn't think we could fly, and then all of a sudden the Wright brothers were able to fly, and then there's like, oh, now we're able to fly long distances, and oh, now we're able to break the sound barrier, and how people thought it was insane that you could never break the sound barrier. And now it's like, oh, we're going to do Mach 20. And there were she talked about two tests that they did. They both are done over the Pacific Ocean. The first one just went straight into the Pacific Ocean, hit Mach 20, and it's like a drone, basically. First one went straight into the Pacific Ocean. Second one, they were able to sustain controlled flight for like 8 seconds, and then it dove into the Pacific Ocean. So it's like they're right there to where they can fly. I think she said it was like L.A. to New York in like 7 minutes or some crazy. Like some crazy fast amount of time. I don't remember exactly what it was.
The Concorde was the first major experiment for all that shit.
That was like the supersonic, like Lear, like high quality first class, like rich people Learjet, and a few of them.
Which the only reason that tanked is because the jet fuel for that bitch was so expensive it just wasn't, and you know, economic for them to maintain the fucking jet in the first place.
That and then
wrecked it too. The Concorde started crashing too.
That's true. Yeah, like towards the end, they started going down left and right. So
sure.
Back to your going Mach 20. Anyone raising their hand to get on that plane?
Fuck that.
Fuck that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, no.
Fuck you. I would rather have a train that went super fast. A bullet train that goes 500 miles an hour.
I would, almost, except for like the one deer that just jumped in front of it at the wrong time and then fucking. Because they say that like even putting coins on a train track could derail a train. Maybe that's just propaganda.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I know. I fucking flat. Well,
there's bullet trains out in Europe right now in China that have been doing like 200 miles a while. Yeah.
They're maglev trains. They're not even on the track.
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly.
You can put whatever you want on the fucking track.
There's a fucking super cannon that we have that is all magnet driven, but the cannon for it is super long. I don't know. It's like an acre long or some shit. I don't know. I was making shit up, but it's really long. And it's like a magnet driven cannon, and it's like able to reach like supersonic speeds, and it's like this fucking insane weapon that we have that, you know, if the rate of progression that we're going, that's going to be like fucking so small really soon. So it's like Mach 20. They're like, oh, when DARPA is excited about like 8 seconds of sustained control, that's like, we're there. Like, we got it. We just got to enter in some shit, figure out some mathematics, and we're going to fly drones from the U.S. to anywhere in the world within minutes. And it's done, son. So
the future, though, in my opinion, has to be us basically entering space and then coming down back into the Earth.
Yeah,
over where we want to go, because that cuts times even more drastically. You're traveling at the speed of the Earth's rotation at that point.
Yeah,
you know.
That I think, what was it, Ancient Aliens or some one of those type? Oh, it may have been the Stephen Hawking's videos.
Yes, the scramjets. I mean, I'm sure you heard like the term scramjet.
Yeah.
Scramjets are the jets that can basically, they can take off from the Earth. Then the jets can operate in space or Earth. You know,
it's just right around the corner.
I want to know personally, because, you know, that shit's all cool and whatnot, but what do we really fucking have? What's behind the scenes? That's what I want to figure out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first thing I'd do. If I was President Obama, I'm sorry, any president, if I was the president, first thing I would do day one in office would be like, okay, where's the general? Who's the guy who runs Air 51? I want to know everything right now. First thing I would do, if that, they probably would tell me no, actually, because they have that kind of power. But
what if they found out from Area 51 was like the technology for Blu-ray? That was like the big, they're like, we found out really fucking awesome lasers that can read Blu-ray discs. Sony bought it. Peace out. Japan.
They reverse engineered that shit.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, well, the second thing that they displayed at the DARPA person on TED was basically a life-size hummingbird robot that could fly like a hummingbird. So it had the body movements, like the wings flapped. It was like bio-accurate robotics, and it fucking was just a hummingbird that could like hover and move back and forth and do everything. And after she did her demonstration, the guy who runs TED, the main guy, came up and he asked her. He was obviously like, we're fucking scared of what you just said right now, because we're kind of like the liberal type of people, and you're like the government scientists, and
have robo we're
like, what are you going to use these for? And it's like, why would you build a drone? Like, what, quadricopters? Like, there's videos of quadricopters that can do, like, amazing fucking
crazy
things.
Formations and...
Yeah. And he's like, why would you do something that looks realistic? And she's like, well, when it's built to look realistic, people don't notice it. So that's like, it's just a hummingbird. You wouldn't even notice it. So it's like, they're not only doing, like, the quadricopter thing, but they're doing it to look like animals that, like, you would just mistake at if that flew into your window and like flew out, you could have a camera scan your room, do everything. It flew out and you'd be like, how the fuck did that fucking goddamn, you know, bird get in here? What the hell? What, you know, hummingbird?
I know, it's getting crazy, man.
It's fucking insane. And I love fucking TED Talks because, especially the iPad, I've watched a few on the iPad. It's like, it's kind of weird. It's kind of like laying in bed in the future. So it's like people laying in bed nowadays or in the past were like reading books or, you know, maybe watching TV. But, you know, kind of like the old pastime was to like sit in bed and read a book, right? Now it's like you can sit in bed with an iPad and you can like the magazines that I've subscribed to, they're all interactive. So you have like little animations and videos. Or you can like sit in bed and just watch a video. And it's like, okay, instead of like reading a book, you're watching this crazy fucking TED Talk about a fucking drone, bio imitating drone that's invented by DARPA that can like imitate a hummingbird and scan everything and fly in all different directions. And it's super fucking small and light and battery operated. And nobody even has to be there. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And then you have to try and go to sleep after that, which is.
And I know Justin has watched Lost, but every time he says DARPA, I always think he's of the Dharma Initiative.
For sure, man. No, I'm right there with you. You know I am, man.
Every time, like DARPA, I'm actually rewatching it right now.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm still I'm about midway through season 4 right now. I still got a little ways to go, but it's getting crazier and crazier, man. It takes some commitment to get through the first couple seasons of Lost to really learn the characters.
There's so many flashbacks.
Yeah, it takes a commitment to really get into it, but once you're into it, man, it's you can't get out of it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a sick trap to get stuck in, but it's fun. It's really well shot. Like,
it is, like, man. I mean, that's why it's so addicting, is because, you know, it's they leave the, every episode's a crazy cliffhanger, one.
That's why it's so addicting. I can watch an entire season in, you know, a couple days just because you keep one. You're like, well, I'll watch the next episode because.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And, you know, it's well shot, well acted. I mean, all the pieces are there, you know, so it's like I said, once you get hooked, you can't get unhooked. You have to see it through, you know.
But I mean, that's old news. It was good. But every time he kept saying DARPA, every time I was like, Dharma.
Was that hummingbird made at the Looking Glass Station, Ray?
You
wouldn't know that, but.
I don't. I have no idea what you guys are saying. Thank you for taking me out of my own podcast. Appreciate that. So this is going to be like the last time Keith is ever on the podcast. So no, just joking. It's fucking awesome. We're like close to, we're about, 2 hours and 40 minutes in. So we can still go, but it's like, at some point I gotta notice that time is going to run out.
We should let this guy get to bed here pretty soon though, man. It's what, like 4 o'clock in the morning there for you now, man?
Nah, it's 3:17.
Yeah, 3:17, Justin. Jesus Christ. You want a bottle?
I've already had one.
Okay.
I got one. I give you the story of one time one of my teachers offered me money to sleep with his wife.
Done. Bring it.
You want to hear this?
Yeah.
All right. Purpose of the story, I like the guy. Like, I'm not going to say his name.
But wait, who do you like? The teacher? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say his name, but a teacher of mine.
Okay.
From my youth. After I had graduated too, so, you know, that's why I can, but it was, I was 18, I had just graduated, and I was at a house a bunch of my friends all rented together. It was kind of like, we called it the flop house. Because everyone would just get trashed and sleep there. Mm-hmm. You know, it was that first friend right out of high school. They got their apartment. Everyone was there. So we're all, I shouldn't say we're all, there's six of us there, and we're all playing euchre. So only four people can play at a time. And this old teacher of mine and I were on a team. And, you know, he was cool. Like I said, you know, he's partying with us kids. We all thought he was cool. And so we lose, and we're the odd team out. So we go into the living room at the time, and I forget. I think Varsity Blues was playing. It was. Sitting there watching Varsity Blues, and all of a sudden he was like, hey, man, we should go to my house. We should go to my house. And I'm like, what? Why? Why? You know, I'm having a good time here. And he's like, yeah, well, no, you should come with me. And I'll give you $100 if you sleep with my wife. And right then, I don't know, I was just 18. Shit just got really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, no. And, like, he was real persistent about it. Like, he was like, no, come on. Like, and actually, like, stood up and, like, grabbed my arm. He's like, come on, man. Like, trying to pull me. And I'm like, now I'm getting real weirded out. Because, again, I'm just 18. This guy was a teacher of mine a year ago.
That's a crazy fetish in some of those freaks out there, though, man. It sucks to say, but, you know, that really is.
And then once I say, well, I'm not going to do it, he goes, all right, I'll give you $50 if you film us fucking.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, so he's really trying to bargain. And in my mind, I'm thinking, he wants me to fuck his wife, but he's going to somehow, like, sneak up on me. I don't want to.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously he wants the watch.
Yeah.
Like, he does, you know, he's not just trying to send me in a room with his wife to fuck her and then come out and be like, yo, how was it?
Because I don't remember.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. And she wasn't that, you know, she was decent looking, but nothing that, you know, maybe if she was drop dead gorgeous, I'd have thought about it.
Yeah.
But she wasn't, right? So... Right. It all ended up, you know, I just talked my way out of it. I was like, no, man, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, he just kind of finally, after like pulling on my arm, like I said, trying to drag me out, he let it go. So fast forward to probably last year, since I was 18, so 12 years. And I'm hanging out with my younger sister, and she's probably 23 now, and her friend, and I tell this story, but I, you know, they went to the same school, so they knew this teacher, and one of her friends was like, yeah, I did that. So I tell this story 10 years later, and this kid who's, you know, 7-8 years younger than me,
yeah,
actually, you know, took the bait. He did it.
Oh, so I wonder how many fucking kids did take the bait.
For the same teacher, though. Same teacher. I mean, there wasn't like a rash of like teachers trying to get students or ex-students to fuck their wives, but yeah. You know.
I don't know, like, I can't remember what I was asking people to do 10 years ago, so it has to be something that he's regularly asked people to do.
Oh, to come out and try, you know, I was like, he was a teacher of mine when I just got into high school, and then I was his teacher's aide throughout high school.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew this dude from when I was, you know, freshman to senior. And all of a sudden, crazy, he's like, hey, I'll give you money to fuck my wife.
Wow.
And I felt cheap. $100 is not that much.
Are you really? Serious? How much are you
like
worth?
$1,000, man.
How much? Yeah, what was your price?
Up the ante a little bit.
What,
you know?
What, no. What would be your price? What would have been your price?
What would have been to fuck his wife at that time?
I don't know. What
judging by her appearance, as you remember it.
I'd have been a $1,000 hooker that night.
Add another zero on it, makes it easy. That's what I would have done too.
I'd have
been a $1,000 hooker that night. But
that's fucking crazy though. That proves too that he had been doing that probably for a while before you and after you, obviously as well. And the fact that he hasn't ever got told on by anybody, you know.
Well, all the people he's done this to were all graduating. They were over 18.
Yeah. So
well, then, Sandusky and all that.
You know, everyone's got their own thing. He waited till I was an adult. He posed it to me. I mean, he was a little too forceful, but we were drinking. But I still said, I still said no, and it wasn't like he tried to kidnap me and make me. Like,
he was a little bit forceful, but we were drinking.
Yeah, we were drinking. He didn't have enough Skrilla for me, so there you go. Just wasn't going there.
That's so hilarious, man.
What's that movie where fuck the guy pays. What's that movie? Indecent Proposal. Yeah. Thank you. It's Demi Moore, right? And she's like writhing her.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, writhing around the bed with money just like falling all over her and shit. That could have been you.
$1 million.
A million bucks.
That was way more money.
But here, me and my friends at work had always posed this question. Uh-huh. How much for you to take one?
Oh.
Take a dick in the butt?
Take it. How much for you to take it? I mean, obviously this is so hypothetical because no one is really, you know, I've seen all our pictures.
What
no one's
offering
a $5
saying? Are you saying that we can't get somebody to pay us to take it in the butt? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I'm not saying
so
that.
Hypothetical.
You're saying
that Justin is so ugly that he can't get a lonely homosexual man to proposition him, Justin
That's
King,
insulting, God
into having
I'm
anal
not
sex
money.
In his butthole.
Enough money for what he, you know, what is your price?
Yeah, Justin, what is your price? Now that he's asking
$500
you.
Billion. Dollars.
Damn, you're a high-priced hooker. You know what? I might settle for what the lotto is giving out right now.
I know the Mega Millions, dude.
If that was
the Mega Millions ticket.
I suppose if that was tax free, I could afford enough like fucking anal surgery and therapy and
compound. It's not like you're getting sodomized by the dildo from Seven or anything.
That's true. That's not good either.
Device from Eurotrip, if you ever guess
what's
Eurotrip.
This is the consensus around most of my friends at work. Uh-huh. You know, this is an old job I had, or at least, you know, the older people wouldn't. I'd never do it.
Uh-huh.
And I said $1 million, and they were like, that low? I made good money at my last job.
That's not bad, dude.
I figured out
cold hard cash, straight up.
How
much?
Hard cash. I figured out it would take me 27 years at my job making what I made of working 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week at least, to make $1 million.
Yeah.
Just straight cash.
Okay,
so I could do 27 years of hard labor that I didn't want to do, or I could do a half hour of the work.
I can't believe like this is something we're considering right now on this show. But what happens, like, one of the things you gotta, like, take into account is, like, how do you know that guy doesn't have AIDS?
Well, again, this
for
is
even $1 million, I mean, Magic Johnson survived, but he's got a lot of money.
I'm gonna be one to see tests, but again,
yeah.
You don't have $1 million ass, so no one's gonna meet my dad.
It's just true, man. No.
No extravagant gay dude is just going to be rolling by me and go, $1 million. And I'm going to go.
I guess if it's real money.
You would
God
have
damn
to,
it.
I'm taking that shit to a bank. We're going to a bank beforehand.
I don't got to tell people how I got my money.
That's true. I know. I mean, if you're walking around funny for a while, you just like say you slept wrong.
I got $1 million. I don't need to leave the house for a couple months. You know what I'm
saying? I quit my job at that point.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Keith, God damn it. You're selling us all out for $1 million each. I really hope none of us get famous.
But
somebody...
you all think that you would take $1 million.
Dude, as long as the
conditions were laid out beforehand, you know, the money's got to be real. You got
to
fucking.
What if game? It's the what if game. It's not gonna happen.
Okay, here's the thing. Does he look like the fucking Canadian almost pageant winner that was a dude? Yeah, I think is what
I saw that picture and no, it's not that dude.
Yeah, no, but if that was that dude, would that price change?
Oh, does that drop the price?
Because if
he's a really hot chick?
Justin, have you seen that picture of the fucking Canadian almost, what was the contest? Was it Miss Universe or something?
I think it was Miss Canada.
Miss Canada.
I have not seen that, no.
She
looking up right now.
Got disqualified because she was post-op tranny.
No way.
Yeah, but she looks fucking...
You're trying to find the
words. I don't know the words to say that would be the right words to say. Because
that dude was hot as fuck.
That's true. It does not look like a dude at all. Like, I would have been fooled. There are many legit women that look a lot more manly than that dude.
The Jenny Jones show used to fool me as a kid. Do you remember that game? I think they either played it on Maury or Jenny Jones.
I think it was Maury.
It was like, guess who's a chick and who's a dude?
That's not good.
That's a bad disturbing
game.
As a little kid to see that and then be wrong. Fuck.
I know that means you had feelings that, you know, for those few seconds, you were like, sexually attracted to that dude. Damn
it. You're like, I was totally fucking her. And then they're like, it's a dude. And you're
it's a dude.
And you're like, there goes my fucking self-esteem for a long time.
Holy shit. You know what I just thought of?
You know, that just blew my fucking mind.
This is a treat because I'm such a fan of podcasts, and I feel like we're having a really good one right now.
Thank you, Bert Kreischer.
Shit, Bert, the powerful Bert Kreischer.
God damn it. So we got like less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's wrap it up with some amazing shit. It was awesome. You are going to be on another episode. Guarantee it. I don't know when, but you are going to be. And if you want to start recording some shit to be on Inspired Story Collective podcast, fucking make it happen. And if you need any help setting anything up, let me know and I'll try and help you out.
Yeah, and thanks a lot. I appreciate everything, and it was great being on here. I've still got a lot more stories to tell.
That's awesome.
We want to hear them, man, because your stories are fucking nuts.
I know, they're fucking nuts with the capital Uts. Where can everybody find you online?
At Keith Spurlock 1 on Twitter.
Done, son. And always part of the Death Squad and Inspired Disorder Collective and families. And Justin King, where you at?
Where am I at? I'm at Justin King 1 on Twitter. That's Justin King, like it's spelled, number 1. Also, jkdesigns.co. That's my blog/ all my shit I've ever done website. So check me out there.
All my shit I've ever done website. That's epic sounding, Justin.
Thank you.
Buy
so much.
That domain. All the shit I've ever done.com. And you can always find me on Twitter, twitter.com/RayTaylor. InspiredDisorder.com. It's where you can find this podcast and other podcasts and other shit that I do. Please go to iTunes, subscribe to the Inspired Disorder podcast, and rate and review that shit, and check us out on Stitcher and all that other shit. This is just another episode of this crazy thing that happens when people from all over the world get together and start acting real. This is the Inspired Disorder Podcast, bitches.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Well, I'm speechless after that one.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Inspired Disorder Podcast. Embedded signals within this podcast have reprogrammed your natural thinking patterns. Side effects may include lack of inhibitions, erectile dysfunction, anal leakage, transcendental communication with beings from 4 of the 7 primary dimensions. In the event of a tear in space-time, please keep your hands down and feet together. Any loss of life or limbs due to interdimensional travel is not the responsibility of this podcast.